Hello and welcome to episode 3 cubed of Crippled System. My name is Nathan, Radiothan.
That's 27.
That is 20. Well, good God, if they can't do that simple math.
I can't.
So have you paid attention to what's happened to the public school systems in this country?
Yeah, really. Three times three times three.
Okay, so who's next?
That is a great Tom Lear song.
How about the person next to him? Because well, that's good for podcasting.
Since we go around left every single time.
As opposed to clockwise.
Wait, not every single time.
That's Andy, Major Tusk.
Andy, Major Tusk. I play something.
Was it voted yet? Is it Protectorate? It was Protectorate, wasn't it?
No, no, no.
It was Kador?
Protectorate was not. It was second, but...
Protectorate's the easy option. It's the easy out. If you have no skill, want to be good, you play Protectorate.
As exactly what Keith said, everybody said, let's play Kador.
I'm now flipping Brian off, just for those of you who are playing along at home.
Hey, no talking till you're introduced. You're a surprise guest.
I was screwing myself. Brian Kernish for you, I play Crix, the Heart Faction.
And this is Menoth John, formerly of Lost Hemisphere Radio, and now currently on Painting with Menoth John, your home for watching my hands on the YouTubes.
That picture you have for your image is the most freakiest thing I see.
Bob Ross with his face.
Yeah. funny story about that. That actually is a buddy of mine, Chris Ross, in Utah, who is the meme master general of Painting with Menoth John, put that together, and it literally, I've had more people walk up to me and go, I wake up screaming at night because of that picture.
Understandable. I have as well.
There is a possibility that the very first team tournament starring Team Painting with Menoth John is going to occur at the Nova Open in Northern Virginia. And we're going to all cosplay as Bob Ross. Oh. And it's going to be awesome.
No, no, no. One of you cosplays as Bob Ross and the others are squirrels.
Oh, my God, that'd be great. But I'm not sure if I can get Brett Painter into a squirrel suit. Although his wife might be into it. You never know.
You don't. You have to try.
Wow. All right, and this is Jeff, and I play Circle and Signar. That's about it.
And it's that Jeff. Well, you haven't been on the show before, right?
No, you guys haven't invited
me. Right, we had the other Jeff. So if you guys remember last time there was a Jeff on, and I said it wasn't the Jeff, but the other Jeff, this is the other Jeff.
No, he's the other Jeff. I'm the real Jeff.
You're the Jeff we talked about episodes 1, 2,
We're not
going to
get into who's real discussion here, are we?
Well, it's just we talked about this Jeff episodes 1, 2, 4, and 6, and the other Jeff we talked about in 3 and 5. And then we kind of jump back and forth. But
so
this was the original
numbers,
Jeff we talked about.
Prime numbers.
Prime
this Jeff.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
Prime Jeff.
Prime Jeff. Epic Jeff.
Let me go with that.
Well, that just means other Jeff is
too.
Epic Jeff.
Literal math professor that I brought with me today has pointed out that one is not prime. Isn't there like a holy war on that? Like, because it's not divisible by one and itself. It's divisible by just one. Like,
oh, my God. Stupid integer math. Oh.
Listen, we have a math professor and an engineer on opposite side of this
two
table.
Engineers.
Two engineers.
Battle!
Ooh.
Should we
set up a holy war eventually?
You know, Sam was an engineer.
This could be educational.
No.
Probably not.
So. I introduced Jeff over here to block us at my birthday party, and his engineer brain just got so excited about it.
Yeah, that was a bad move on your part.
Oh, spatial placement skills. I could do this. This
will fit right here. Doink.
So and hopefully next week, Katie and Jeremy should be returning to the podcast. Some people have been asking if we threw them out. I mean, Jeremy, I can understand, but...
people miss Katie. Jeremy, they don't care
about.
Well,
I just got a text from them. They were supposed to be taking their dog to good citizen training, which it sounds as take that as you will. But Katie got a new job, and now they're out celebrating. And she said that they'd come over at 7:30. But
does
we'll
this
done.
New job involve bull semen? Because the old one did.
The old one was accounting and bull semen. This new one is... I'm not sure.
Where was she over at ABS?
I don't think dogs can be
The Greater Service. Yeah, she did accounting over at the Bull Semen Factory.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, for those of you who aren't from the greater Wisconsin area, there actually is a freaking bull semen place right on I-94. Got the best damn billboards in history as you go by. Our bulls fuck the shit out of cows and stuff like that. it's absolutely beautiful.
When you were talking about the best damn, I thought you were going to say milkshake.
No, we're not
going to. Yeah, you went in a whole different direction.
Pretty horrible.
You know, I keep it pretty clean on my shows. Yeah, it's going to go all blue all the damn time on this one.
Do not go to episode 6 here. Episode 6 needs to be our worst episode ever.
That's all I said.
Okay.
I've got my 18, you've got your 6. So
just
we're good
the last
like that.
Time we talked about semen this much, it was dangerous.
I wasn't even talking about that.
Okay, let's find a new subject.
Oh, it's getting dark.
So they're not going to be here because they're taking their dog to Boy Scouts? Or what is this?
It's getting trained as a therapy dog.
For them?
They're having Malcolm be trained as a therapy dog. Katie wants to do charity work, but she doesn't want to do the work, so she wants him to be trained as a charity
dog.
Dog
to do the work.
So he'll do all the charity stuff, and she'll can just sit around.
So she just, like, delivers the dog.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Charity. She, like, goes, here, here. She walks up to the old person and says, here's a dog to pet, and then she feels better about herself.
Wow.
That's what she's trying to do?
I don't think she put it that way.
Well, I
worst part about it is the person who they gave the dog to doesn't even fucking remember. So it's like... Could have been anything.
Oh, man.
Maybe it's that monkey we were
Jeremy
talking about.
Like a Willard costume, and he could do it. Wilfred?
Wilfred.
Wilfred. Willard was the rat guy.
More, maybe it's a Clifford outfit.
Yeah.
Clifford, the big red dumbass.
Big eyed dog.
Now I'm sad because I thought about what's his face dying.
Willard?
Yeah. No, the guy from Three's Company, who was the voice of Clifford on the cartoon show.
Don Knotts?
Not Don Knotts. He would know.
Don Knotts
the main guy. No, Don Knotts. Yeah, Don Knotts is dead now.
John Ritter?
John Ritter.
Yeah, John Ritter. He died years ago.
That's how you remember John Ritter?
But he mentioned Clifford, so I remember John Ritter. I actually sadly remember John Ritter from that movie where he got sucked into the television.
At least we got off of bull semen.
I remember John Ritter more for Bad Santa.
I just remember the Onion article that week that was God grants John Ritter's wish to meet Johnny Cash because they both died that week. It was I got the Onion that week. And I saw that. I was like, oh, that is beautifully awful.
That is one could say horrible. Too soon, but he died a long time ago, so that's all over.
It was too soon at the time, but it was still kind
of. Just think of how many people that have died that were in Bad Santa.
All
Bernie
of them.
Mac is gone. John Ritter's gone. What's his name going to die?
I can't Sling Blade.
Sling Blade?
Sling Blade.
Yeah, he's dead inside. Is that kind of
I think it does.
His favorite toys have been cut away from the earth.
He lost Angelina Jolie. I mean,
that
counts as a
his
death.
Favorite
yeah.
toys
I wonder if he's still
away.
Got her blood, though, hanging around
yeah,
his neck.
Yeah, like, remember, like now she's all, like, adopting African kids and stuff. And remember
cutting her tits off. What's
remember
up with that?
She was freaky and they were drinking each other's blood on the red carpet and stuff? Like,
I've met some freak shows in my time, but that one takes the cake.
Like 12-year-old goth kids trying to shock their parents.
Oh, we drink each other's blood. Yeah, okay. and the 12-year-old goth kid looks at Angelina Jolie and goes, I got nothing.
Yeah, yeah. Got nothing indeed.
Poor John Voight.
Oh, yes. What?
Well, that's her dad.
Her dad.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He's got to be sitting back there shaking his head.
Just
because
he's the only one who can't, like, stare at her and masturbate.
Parents being disappointed in their goth kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm pretty sure he's a disappointing person too.
Yeah, probably.
That's an interesting topic.
So we've got bull semen covered and John Voight masturbating
some
to his daughter.
We had the
so
worst.
We're off to a flying start here on this.
I blame
episode.
You. We usually keep it clean.
Yeah, that's absolutely the case.
Yeah, we're usually not derailed this quickly.
We did have some pretty good hate mail this week. Some guy was very upset with us. He's like, I listened to your podcast for the first time. Like, how do you just jump into like episode 25? And he was,
right.
He's like,
we start at one.
He's like, yeah.
Like that's a number. It's not prime, but it exists.
but then the next guy posted. That loved us. So we had like one. We had one piece of hate mail and one piece of love mail. So it balanced. Everything balanced out.
That's fine. I mean, because we've discussed possible T-shirts and stuff like that. And the one that I'm adamant about, I don't care if I have to finance it from my own pocket. The T-shirt we're gonna have is the. This is by far the worst War Machine Hordes podcast I have ever listened to in my life. Because that's my favorite review we've ever gotten.
Yeah,
by far. It's still in my SIG on the forums.
Can you quote that?
Oh, I have.
It's still in my SIG on my forums.
Sweet.
And the guy who said it, like, his username was, like, ButtStallion69, or not even ButtStallion, it was just, like, you know, ChickDoer69, and I'm like, yeah, you're a classy reviewer, your opinion matters to me.
Says the 400-pound guy that hasn't seen a girl naked ever.
Yeah. Well, he has the internet.
There is that.
Yeah.
Porn is so much easier to get now.
Remember when it was a big deal, like, when you could get your hands on, like, some Playboy that your friend's older brother accidentally left out so he could steal it?
I remember, growing up, Showtime, like, squiggling when the paint channels were like,
Scramble Vision,
you're like, you're waiting for
and
it.
And then a line for a split second, you're like, oh, I think that was a nipple!
Yeah, about every 15 seconds.
I can hear it. Yeah, something's happening.
Yeah.
I watched
like
radio
TV,
porn.
Channel 44 out of Chicago. Anyhow, God.
But now kids these days just
these,
boom.
These kids these
cervix.
Days with their
yep.
U-porn. I don't know
fingers.
What they're going to do.
Click.
Yeah. Just click porn. Mm-hmm. Takes the romance away.
Click. Yeah, exactly. Used to be you'd sit back, you know, you make a nice meal, perhaps you burn a candle for you and your hand.
Even when the internet first started, I remember having to wait like 10 minutes for a fake topless picture of Sandra Bullock to download from the top down, because the picture's always loaded from the top down. So it'd get closer and closer to her boobs. You're like, come on, my parents will be home soon. Come on.
You get six scans later, you realize you've got half a goatee and tub girl.
Yeah.
I'm finished.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
No, I'm just saying as the
No.
Gets, like,
we
to, like,
yeah, we got it. Like, no, I think we got it.
Was that your impression of the modem quitting and stopping? Or was
Yeah. Okay. So we got hate mail, and by we, I mean you guys, because I'm just a guest.
You always get fan mail.
Mm. I get no mail.
No, that comes to us.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Oh, they awesome.
Just say, hey, guys, we know that you don't have anything to do with him and you're not his show or anything, but we love Menoth, John.
Aww.
And we just delete it.
Thanks. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Your ego's big enough.
It's like I said when I was texting Tusk that I was going to come today. It's like, you guys don't need that many people because my ego takes three chairs. So it's all good.
Speaking of you, there was an event or something a couple days ago, right?
Oh, my God, there was.
There was
a 50-point... Steamroller event in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Yes, hosted by Not Sam.
Not Sam.
Because he can't anymore.
Danny, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Danny did it. Danny took over as press name in Milwaukee
like Dan
because
or Danny.
Travis
I
is...
I call him Danny. Is that the
he usually goes by Danny.
All right, so Danny it is.
Is it Danny? I always call him Dan.
But you might call him Danny.
The locals call him Danny.
His mother call him Dan. His daddy call him Dan. He Dan to me.
Lieutenant Dan?
Sorry. Seems straightforward.
So Dan Rowan, it was his first event as an official press ganger. And I thought
he still did better than Travis does.
He answered people's questions.
Huge upgrade.
Did he have prize support?
he did have prize support.
Put someone up on Travis.
People did complain about his terrain, so it was perfect.
I might have had a little rant about his terrain.
Slightly.
I thought it was the most asinine thing I'd ever seen.
But the thing is, Brian does that on the center of the table. Brian will put a hill in the center of the table with a complete circular wall in the center of the hill in the center of the table. At least Dan just had one hill with a wall on it towards the edge. In fact, I should have measured. He would be my favorite person ever if that wall was like 13 3/4 inches in.
Because
that's my favorite thing. I learned that from Brian. You put a wall just barely not 14 inches in to taunt people and events that have kill box.
That's so terrible.
They're just like, oh, I can hide behind this wall. It's just, oh, fuck.
Oh, they don't check it. Then their point is good.
Yeah, they don't
points.
Check. And they're like, I'm behind this wall. Thanks for the point.
Yeah,
I think I'll take this side.
It's just cruel. It's terrible.
It's not terrible. It's yeah.
So we were us three, and by those three, no one on podcast.
Good pointing. We're a video podcast. I know you've never been on a podcast before, but people can't see you, John.
You see, I've never cared on any of my podcasts, so I'm easy like that. But yes, Nate and Brian and I were at this 50-point affair. In the beautiful city of Milwaukee, with New Berlin, to be exact.
I call it Milwaukee because it makes Sam mad. He's like, that's where I'm not in Milwaukee.
Waukesha. Pewaukee, for all it's worth.
Yeah, whatever. It's all the same. It all smells the same.
Exactly. And so it was you could bring one list. I brought two. And I played, I was doing my level best to rope-a-dope people by saying I was going to play Krix. But in fact, I had always in the back of my head that I was going to play Protectorate of Menoth, the barely fieldable, underpowered Protectorate of Menoth.
Well, they're so difficult to play. I mean, the choir's hard to use. I mean, enliven's a difficult word to say while pointing at something.
Well, you know, I'll say this much about it. It does have its challenges as far as order of activation is concerned. But once good old Judicator shows up with his pow 24 fists, she's pretty much game over.
Choir, then Jax, then Vassal. There's your order of activation.
Pretty much. It's not much harder than that, but... So I was playing, I guess we're just going to kind of talk a little bit about this tournament now. So I brought two lists that I have finally settled on as ones I actually enjoy. Epic Fiora with Adjudicator and a big unit of Bastions, a little unit of Bastions, and the Bastion Seneschal. Let me say a couple of words about the Bastion Seneschal. I now understand why the world was going nuts when we originally thought that thing could stack. Because just one of them is enough. I mean, being able to erase, you know, in my list, 8 wounds every turn was pretty friggin' sweet. And if you got to do that twice, they just deliver now. You get to actually play with the models. It's pretty fun.
I almost stupidly was like, well, it's only 8 if they all get hurt, forgetting it was Bastions we were talking about.
Yep. And so it's, you know, 5 per unit. And I had on that list, I had it all stacked out with Ayana and Holt. And I had Rupert. I had a full unit of Zealots with the Monolith Bear because the Monolith Bear is like required. And it was a great list. And the other one was Sevi 1, 4 spray bots, 4 repenters, an adjudicator, and then support staff. And boy, that list is a lot of fun too. Turns out that 8 sprays, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 sprays a turn is kind of fun.
Plus vassals, right?
Well, that was included.
Oh, that was including 2 vassals, right? Because the adjudicator has 2 base, right?
Yep.
So yeah, that, with Eye of Menoth up and Choir Benefit. I mean, that's the, those Repenters under Peace Heavy with the...
You don't even need Focus, and they're just awesome.
They're the best four-point heavy in the game.
Exactly. Like, they're totally the...
Like,
yep.
Factoring in the chain weapon, like if they go against something with a buckler or a shield, they hit like a brick shit house. Like they're like essentially like POW 18s or something absurd like
POW
that.
POW 17, if they use their flail to negate a shield, it's POW 19.
Yeah, POW 19.
Yeah, on a light.
Yep, I know. I was playing against Brian Culp, who's a super awesome guy, and we had played the night before where he was running his fatty list and he had a sentry in there, and a couple of spray bots showed up and made a sentry sad. So, sorry. So, what were you playing there, Mr. Carnage?
I played, I had two lists. I played one of them, but I had Peace Scar with the Mecha Thrall spams with some Raiders and Helldivers. Pretty basic. Mm-hmm. And my list I ended up playing all day was Epic Denegra, Tartarus, Bane Knights. I brought a Wraith Engine with it because for some fun. I brought Nightmare, a couple Arc Nodes, Pistol Wraith, Warwinch Siren. Yeah, that was that list.
Yeah,
don't sound so excited about it.
It was exciting. Well, I've already tweaked my lists a little bit since then. Those lists have been deleted and started over. Reevaluated them, and
they did so badly.
They weren't good enough.
Well, they were good enough, but they weren't sharp enough. Like when I stab someone, I want to like drain them to
it
one.
Didn't feel right.
Yeah, I didn't roll like over immediately dead. Exactly. I actually required work to kill.
I had to fight for a couple of my wins. That was really unacceptable. I don't want to have to put that much effort into my games.
Right. If you're playing Crix, it's mostly because you just want to steamroll puppies. You don't want to have to actually play the game.
Exactly.
Well, you only get to live that dream once.
And what did Nathan bring?
Oh, I brought piles of steaming poop. I only won a game technically because I had a bye.
Hey, but you won that bye.
I sure got that win on my paper. Oh, my God. I'm in a weird place right now because now my heart is fully, fully invested in the Convergence. Like, I just want to play nothing but Convergence, and they're not, you know,
It's hard to move their models around.
It's like every time I sit down and I put my pigs out and everything, and I love my pigs and everything, but I set them on the table and I'm just like... this isn't Convergence.
For the army that could have been.
Why isn't it November yet? you know, but... So we'll see how that goes for the next 4 months for me.
Good luck with all that.
Yeah. Wow.
We'll play some board games.
Yes.
So we should just record you right now saying, it was like, I wish I could play Convergence, and we'll just put a repeat for the next 4 months.
Yes. I don't even need to show up for the podcast. What's Nate have to say about that? I wish I could play Convergence. John, what do you have to say? My house burned down.
we'll record a few zappings
drink.
For you, too.
The John drinking game.
Yeah. The other Menoth John.
Yeah.
Well, the other
not Menoth John.
The other John
that
plays
Asian.
Menoth.
Yeah.
So, turns out in the first round that Mr. Carnage and I locked horns, if you will.
For the first time ever.
For the first time ever. I was really excited about it because meeting Brian in the first round of a tournament means two things, both at the same time. First, you're fucking going to lose. Secondly, it means that I can get in the cool kids club right away and enjoy the rest of my day. But I've also got my faculties at that point because I haven't been beaten about the head, breast, neck, and chest yet. So I can actually think. And it turned out to be a decent game. I put down Epic Fiora, and you came with Epic Denny. And I'm like, chipping a chance. Turns out I got 14 range guns. That means I can shoot from when he locks me down. And I'm like, giddy up. But I got all these Bane Knights I got to get rid of, so I heard flaming AoEs are good at that. So I the first turn opened up, and you know we did the normal shtick, and then Judy came up and started throwing fire all. Excuse me, Bullwinkle came running up and started throwing fire all over the place, and I did pretty good on your Bane Knights.
Yeah, you know you took out quite a few of them.
So
fire's a good way to kill Bane Knights because that doesn't trigger vengeance, right?
No, well, some still die. I mean,
if they die to the direct blast, they would. But if he can get lucky and not kill them with the blast, and they all die to fire,
correct?
That's pretty
vengeance
awesome
is by
for
enemy attack. Yep.
Seeing as how you're the highest scoring judge in history, that was good tech you just handed out there. Yeah. So
you're welcome.
Yeah, awesome. I could have used that on Saturday, but when I did get my one fire roll against Denny, I moped it up something fierce.
Yeah, Denny was on fire at the bottom of one, or bottom of two. She was on. Or no, I think it was turn one or turn. It was top of your top of two. You put her on top of two. She's already on fire. Which I just knew that was going to happen. I'm like, she's going to be on fire. And I'm going to I knew when I go on corporal, it'll drop. But I have to take the damage roll. So, but he rolled like a five. So
yeah, which didn't do me a whole lot of good. I continue to slog it out, and the way, you know, I don't want to turn this into Muse on Minis with battle reports, so we'll just kind of cut to the chase. He comes storming in with a Wraith engine with three corpse tokens up on it, and just the first one hits in 6-5-2 or something like that.
Yeah, I cut Fjord in half in the first hit.
Yeah, and then it took the rest of the activation and down to Nightmare's last hit to finally kill her. And at the end of when that last hit was delivered, you only killed me by like 2 health points. And Judicator was standing right next to Denny. She was going to be corporeal, and he was cracking his knuckles, something hard, but never got a chance.
Yeah, I did the same thing in 3 of my games. Is I feeded to lock you in place, and I just ran Nightmare, and I ran the Wraith engine into spots where hopefully they wouldn't die. So the following turn, I could charge 1, if not 2 of them in. So that was kind of the plan, and luckily. Your zealots, you didn't have enough. You didn't have. I think the Wraith engine was incorporeal even, so he couldn't be shot by too many things. So, and you had a good. I mean, Denny was down to 6 or 7 hit points because you did throw a lot of shots in her because she was behind a wall, and you basically were able to put 2 sprays on her, and the 2 shots from your Judicator. So you tried to shoot her to death because she had magic weapon because of Ion and Hold.
Yep.
When I knew that, so I fully camped her, put her right there, and figured, well, if he gets hot dice, I'll die. If not, I'll kill his caster. So it was one of those things we knew.
Yep.
Another reason why that death clock is so much fun is we both knew the game was over in 1 round, so we didn't have to rush our 10-minute turns. We each took like 12, 13 minutes, did our turn best we could, and then the game was over.
Yeah, we laughed about it. It was a good battle, and it was a damn good game. I very much enjoyed it.
Yeah, despite the scary name, I think death clock is actually more casual.
Yeah, I think it is. I think in the 20-some games I've played Death Clock, I've got under 20 minutes maybe twice.
I've had an opponent clock himself against me a couple times, and I've never been like below 20. So, it just seems very relaxed to me. It's nice to have the time when you need it.
When I was playing Sleepy Joe, who was your second-round opponent and my third-round opponent, that game was like watching old people screw. It was just, took forever. We were both like death clocking ourselves out. We had like 5 minutes left each. I mean, and oh my god, that's just the worst. Anyway, we'll get to that part later.
So that was our round one.
Well, E-virus.
And Nathan did not have. You did not have a bye round one.
I did not have a bye round one. Round one, I played against Adam, mm-hmm. Crix player. So pigs don't have a lot of magical weapons, and they don't have a lot of ways to ignore stealth. So luckily for me, that's not a big deal when your opponent puts down a tier 4 Gorshade 2 theme force.
That is a mean son of a bitch list.
Yeah, so I mean, he only had like 30 stealth weapon masters, and the only thing that wasn't stealth I can only hit with magical weapons and stuff like that. So I did a good job. The good news is big tech, Gorshade 2, you can completely negate his feat if you never kill anything. So I stuck with one. I killed one model, so I did technically give him a feat, but I think I did a pretty good job mitigating his feat.
Good job.
Did he end the game with like the amount of Bane Knights he started with plus your army?
He ran out of extra Bane Thralls.
Yeah.
Well, he only brought like 8 of them. Like, he should have brought more Bane Thralls. That was just a disaster. And the whole time I'm like, man, I wish I was still playing Durgan. Like, I would be annihilating every orifice you have right now if I was playing Durgan.
He really actually came up to me after the game and he was saying, man, Nate's too good of a guy to do to what I just did to him. Well, and it's like, and then I disagreed with him.
No, I'm an awful person.
Well, so Adam
went up like it was a horrible matchup. Also, he rolled 4 boxcars in his first 2 turns, so it's a horrible matchup. He had hot dice, I had Nate dice, and he's not a complete drunken monkey. And I'm like, if 2 or maybe 3 of those were true, I would have had a chance. As it was, I killed I killed 2 models. That's not true. I killed 1 Bane Thrall, and then when I ended up passing 3 tough checks in a row with Carver, I just charged myself with a Slaughterhouser with takedown to make sure we were done with it. I'm like, Carver feats. He's like, are you going to stand? No. Carver feats. Slaughterhouser's charge. Takedown.
Can you feat when you're knocked down?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, why can't you?
Do you want to shake that knockdown? Hey, Travis, do you want to shake that knockdown?
It's funny because he died.
Right now, Travis has just punched his monitor.
He has a picture of Andy he can punch. Yeah, it was Doomy 1 feet. He was at like 3 hit points against Andy, and Terminus is knocked down.
I might have heard the story.
Yeah.
With Travis may have been screaming at the time. You can't.
I don't know this Travis.
Sam.
I understand.
Yeah,
I asked him if he wants to shake the knockdown. He's like, nope. Because all he had to do was just move a bunch of guys into Doomshaper and just kill them. Because I had nothing to retaliate. And then, like, 2 seconds later, he's like, Yeah, I'll shake it. I'm like, oh, you take six?
Like, oh, tough check.
Tough check?
No.
Fail. No.
Jedi.
Yeah, that was an event I was running, and he came up to me, and he mentioned that you're a wonderful person, and he was happy he came, and he enjoys playing against you, and he's a big fan of everything Andy-related. That was approximately the conversation we had.
Yeah.
Approximate in that it used the same letters of the alphabet in some words.
Yes, yes. He spoke English.
He did
mostly.
Speak, mostly. Colorful version of it,
colorful
I imagine.
Colorful version of, yes. Yeah.
What are euphemisms?
euphemisms. Fuckhole might have been a word that was used.
That one's
son
infamous.
Of a bitch. Gotcha players may have been a phrase. It's low life scum.
It's nothing like a
person I'm
going to
murder at some point later in life.
It's really not my intent. Absolutely not my intent. In fact, I have made sure I do not have that situation.
No, always do that against Sam. Don't do it against other people. But, you know, there's certain people you should always do that to.
I mean, I've had other players just walk up, and I have my feet token now right next to my caster, and I've had people walk up and, you know, like Force Hammer, Doom Shaper under his feet, so it's 46 to the face.
I hear that's bad.
And that's also
I hear Ron falls over dead immediately.
He had E. Kane come up, like, shoot a couple times and go to teleport, and he disappeared, which is part of teleporting.
From the game.
But he never reappeared.
Yeah.
Which
so, like,
I'm okay with.
The mental like, see, like, Kane just vanished in, like, a red mist, and then Rowdy just goes... powers
what
down.
What a great visual.
Yep.
Yeah, so that was round one of a tournament.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
So Adam defeats round two. Adam actually defeats Jordan's E-Butcher spam list. Jordan's not here to tell the story, but he got spell assassinated by the coven, which was pretty hilarious.
Adam keeps his choir like 38 inches away from
his coven.
Not his choir's coven.
His
like 38
coven
inches away from
literally each
other.
Corner of the table is a coven member. It's the most bizarre setup I've seen.
He shared that tech with me one time on a Tuesday night, and I'm like, holy shit, that's annoying.
There's no maximum distance. The hilarious thing is, though, because the spells are measured from the egg, like, you can have a model, like, 2 inches away from a coven member, and she can't cast spells at it.
Exactly.
Wow. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it works really well.
As long as there's no kill block, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
That is one piece of a disadvantage.
Yeah. So what did you do round two?
Round two, I got a gift. Let's see. Davis came up from... God, is he out of DeKalb?
Rockford. Davis is from Rockford.
He's from Rockford? Okay. And he brought his awesome-looking Signar. And I decided this would be the time to bring out Sevi and the Spraybots. And he put down Siege. And so I brought my stuff forward. He went ahead and feeded and ripped the gun off of two of my Repenters and... pretty much that kind of stuff. And I'm like, well, as I looked at where he was, and he came down off of a hill to do this for some reason. And
hills aren't any good against sprays, so wait. Oh.
Yes,
it's
they
the
are.
Opposite of true.
And so the two that he left me with, I loaded up with focus, you know, two each, and brought them forward, and I brought Sevi forward, and I feeded, ripped all his focus off, and said, okay, here we go. And sure enough, I got him down to like two or three hit points left. And then he was on fire, of course, from the spray bots. And what we didn't realize until we had already marked up the sheets and turned him in and all that stuff is he was dominating the alchemical cache that he was standing next to, which means he's immune to continuous effects. And I'm like, Davis, you won that game because Sevi is now standing out in the breeze. He's got nothing but him and his cloak between you and me and death. And he insisted on giving me the win. So I was 1-1 at that point. And he's a super awesome guy. And I returned the karmic favor later on in round four when I lost to a similar situation, but we'll get there when we get there.
He's not pretty good. He's from the south. And he's moving back to like Georgia, like in 4 months. But he's been coming to our events for the past year and a half.
He's leaving the area.
He's a recruiter for the army, and he works in Rockford. But he's retiring in 6 months full
because he's like 45.
Not even yet. Yeah. So so he's gonna go down and just live in his house and like just.
He should retire to this area.
He's
like
from
him.
There. He's got family and stuff. Yeah.
He really likes
family
himself.
Is totally overrated.
Here's a funny Davis story. He went to the Atlanta meta, which are really good players. He has friends that are there, and he played in a 6-round tournament, a prep tournament. And he's like, you know, he heard there's a lot of Crix players, so he brought a P. Haley and something else. He played against Crix all 6 rounds and crushed people all 6 rounds.
Good for him.
No one could get through his P. And he's a good guy. And he just completely dominated everyone he faced with his every Crix player with
Haley.
His
one's
P.
good against Crix.
Yeah, it's top three worst things to see as a Crix player.
Haley one's not good against Crix. You say
nope. Ask Keith.
Right, right.
What?
Ask Keith at Masters. At Daikon. Yeah. But anyway, that's another story.
There are different ways of playing.
If a good Cricks player beats a bad Haley 1 player, that doesn't mean that Haley wasn't that good against Cricks.
I have beaten bad P. Haley players before.
If Cricks players can't charge and are getting shot 50 times a turn, they lose.
Yeah. Like, I don't know the full story, but I know that
he spell assassinated P. Haley with ESP. And that's
what?
Yeah, that should not be possible.
That's like, what?
You have to be, no offense.
She's functionally spell immune.
I apologize to the person if they're listening, but you did something wrong if that happens to you. You should not be spell assassinated by ESP.
That's like saying I was playing Bart and I got knocked down and assassinated. Like there's things that don't happen.
Yeah.
Like Severius getting spell assassinated.
People make mistakes, though.
Yeah, if that happens, something that rules have just blown up because that isn't even remotely possible. Yeah.
When you extend Haley, when you're trying to get stuff done that your army failed to do that has to happen, Haley steps up, does it, and then she's naked.
You just never...
But you just don't have to against Griggs. You just keep throwing up the temporal barrier, and they just all die in droves walking towards you.
Yeah, that's true.
Something wrong has just really happened because... That you should be able to sit back, and even if a Cricks player kits himself out with guns, I mean,
well, all they have is like missing the pirate suite, I guess, like some of their jacks. But
I got Harrower spam. You're in trouble.
Hey, got bullet throws.
They're too short of range. Is the problem?
Yeah. If they hang back, you lose.
Yeah,
all that could stuff be a scenario situation.
I off track just there, but
that's okay. Davis is a hell of a guy.
I wanted to shout out for him. So that was you had a buy round two.
I didn't. I originally didn't. Somebody who it was their first event ever got the buy, and I went up to Danny. Danny's walked by. He's like, "Sorry, what? So and so, you got the buy?" And I was like, "No, I have it." Danny's like, "What?" He's like, "I have the buy. Give me the buy." He's like, "Okay, thanks." And so the other guy got to play. So I ended up getting the buy round two because there's no way as a PG who also was still copiously weeping from the worst game he'd ever had in his life was going to let somebody else have a buy at the first event ever.
The highest scoring judge of
also highest scoring judge in the history of the judge program would have had a perfect score, except I personally felt it was my moral duty to point out that I had one word wrong.
Absolutely.
My round two game went pretty good. My opponent, it was actually his first tournament ever. It was round two, so I figured, well, he won his first game. When someone says their first tournament, I don't automatically think bad
was
player.
Was it like the young kid in the brown sweatshirt?
He was his third round opponent.
It's Sleepy Joe. He's got a beard not all that different than yours.
Yeah.
I think he had the buy round one.
Maybe he had the buy round
was
one.
Was he
played,
red?
Yes.
Yeah, he had the buy round one. That's how he had a win.
So I didn't know that at first. So I sit down. He's also playing Virus 2, which is a pretty good threat. So by the end of turn one, I get the information that it's actually his first. He got the buy. It's his first term, and it's the first time he's ever played Virus 2.
Which also means because of the buy, it means it's his first tournament game ever.
And it's the first time he's faced E. Denny. So 3 or 4 minutes later, I kill his caster, and the game's over. It was pretty much I killed one model. Also, lunch was coming up, so I got more time for lunch, so I wasn't even going to bother with
Fazoli demands.
I'm like, thanks for welcome to your first tournament.
I went up for breadsticks at Fazoli's after, you know, I got my food and I ate my food and then I went to get breadsticks. They're like, how many breadsticks do you want? And I said, I want all of them, and they didn't believe me.
They are lovely, but they have salt. Holy shit.
They're salt and butter with enough bread to hold the salt and butter.
that's exactly the case.
It's a salt and butter delivery mechanism.
Yeah, it's like salted butter with like a breadstick shoved in the middle to hold it like a corn dog.
Tell me more about shoving it in the middle of that salt and butter.
You want my breadstick and your salty butter?
Tell me all about that, baby.
All right, I'm out.
Gay chicken erupts on Kremlin system. Nobody is surprised.
And round three.
So you had the buy? Okay, so
round two I had to buy. Okay, round three I played again. Round three I was annihilated. I wasn't sadness. So
the story of Nathan, sadness.
I was playing and I was doing well. It was I was playing against why am I blanking on who it was?
What faction?
It was Legion. It's Brian with a Y. I couldn't remember. It wasn't his Veil 2 list. It was Thagrosh. It was Thagrosh 1. But I was doing super well. I got my Midas list. I have 2 full units of Slaughterhousers, which means Thagrosh does not have a feat.
Yep.
So things are going well. I'm doing well on attrition. I'm taking him apart a little bit at a time. I'm doing the slow game.
Yeah.
No need to rush it because I know that this game is mine. He's not going to have a feat. I'm taking him out a beast or two at a time. Mm-hmm. And then one turn, I'm just crushing into him, and I just, you know, this beast activates and he'll attack, and I'll buy another attack, and this whenever he charges and does his animus, and this guy over does whatever. And then I finish my turn, and I look down, and all but one of my beasts are full. just for no reason,
well,
just with random, why not buy two more attacks, he says to himself like an idiot. I just forced all my beasts full, just killing random troopers.
Now, as a rules judge, that leaves you no transfer targets, does it?
I did have one transfer target. It was 4 inches in front of a Carnivian. So I ended up with no transfer targets. But technically, at the end of my turn, I had a transfer target.
So you didn't completely fuck yourself. You just virtually.
Even if the Carnivian wasn't there, I had no transfer targets because Thagrosh has bad blood.
Ah.
So I still would have had. Yeah, I just randomly. Yeah, like an idiot. Like if I leave one less Fury on one of my bonus swarms, I win that game every time. And I just wasn't thinking and just said, oh, sure, he'll Animus. He'll buy an attack. Why not? End turn, look at table, weep.
My third round was against Sleepy Joe and his Retribution. So he went Carnage and then me. But, you know, I'm way less of a threat than Carnage is. So I brought out Ephiora and the all-flame thing. And Joe then suffered meltdown during my game. I brought my Zealots up on the left-hand side. He brought all his Infiltrators in on the same side. And I ran him first turn. He comes up and runs. I bring him up the second time, and I Greater Destiny and pray for no spells. And then he jams everybody in there. But I've set my Zealots up in two rows, so the back guys start lobbing bombs into all the guys that are up in there, and they just shrug everything off. No, wait, that's not how it happened because I was under Greater Destiny when the bombs fell. So just blew his shit completely to hell and collapsed that whole side of the table, but then it took 40 more minutes to win the game because his positioning of his halberdiers on the other side was just dead solid perfect and just made Judicator sad as hell. Could not get within reach range of Vyros for like two turns, and the fatal mistake he made was he had one of those, he had either was a spell or a jack that has the push you forward or push you back. No, it was Mega Mittens.
Yeah.
And he hit Judicator with it and pushed stuff away. Well, Judicator can't get pushed. He moved all of his halberdiers back towards Vyros, which gave me enough room to move Judicator forward and get in reach range. And then I punched him once and he fell over dead.
That'll happen. My round three was against Adam. He threw down his Coven list again.
Yeah.
He actually got it. He went for a really early assassination. I kept my caster on a hill, and I kept much focus on her, thinking maybe he'll run forward and try to assassinate me, which he did try to do. Mm-hmm. And he should have averaged. It was close. I have 16 health. He averages like about 14-ish, and he ended up doing about 10 to 12 damage. So I gave him kind of a long not the worst odds, but I knew the game would be close. It failed. He actually shot up on my caster, which kind of sucked. But he had the Egregor too far forward, so I counter feet, and then I just basically position on my turn. The next turn, I just charge everything into the ball and just slaughter it.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, he complained to me that if the Egregor was a quarter inch further back, it doesn't get feeded on, and then that game goes much, much better for him.
Yeah, if I don't grab the ball there, I did get his only arc note. If he would have been back an inch, I would not have killed him, but I would have killed his death jack, his only arc note, and all his frontline stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think I still had a slight advantage, but I was so low on health that he could have got one lucky shot and possibly still got me, because he could have ran the ball and had a witch cast a spell from far away. So he still had possibilities. Yeah. But because he got the ball caught in her feet, it didn't matter.
Right.
So it was still a close game. It was still very brutal. So that was my round three.
Excellent.
Yeah, very, very fast round. They were speeding it up.
And then round four, well, who was your opponent, Nate?
My round four opponent was Jordan.
Okay.
With the Doom local spam. Jordan Doom Reaver. It was not his Doom Reaver spam. He did his Butcher 1 list with two Clam Jacks.
Oh.
Just because that was his challenge to see if I could break him. I didn't have anything that could really deal with Bobbin Weaving Iron Fleshed Death Star. So, you know, I was picking him off a little bit of a time, but just not fast enough. His sprays just annihilated all my poor brigands.
Yeah.
I did have a possible, like, maybe it's a, I think on average dice I do 14 damage to the Butcher who has 20 hit points, so not good odds, but he did give me an out when he got the Butcher within charge range of Carver. But I failed a boosted needing a 10 and two attacks needing a 4 and a 5 to kill the model that was in my way.
Yeah.
So I was grumpy about that because I still would have lost because it was like a, you know, a 30% chance at best of the assassination. Yeah. But I would have liked to lose trying that 30%, but that stupid Kiazi Infiltrator wouldn't get out of the way so I could even try it.
Yeah.
Made me sad.
I was having the same problems with that game I was talking about, Sleepy Joe. I couldn't get a damn Halberdier out of the way. It's like, Christ, here's my Bastion, and I got two Bastions swinging at him going,
yeah,
missing everything because that's what they do. I mean, Bastions just miss. It's what they're best at.
I did try to trick him into taking free strikes against my gun boar. I'm like, you know, this gun boar moves past your Clamjack, moves into melee, moves out of melee. Would you like your free strike? He's like, no, I don't. I'm like, what about this Clamjack? Would it like the free strike? No. Because they were like 6 inches in front of, they were both like 6 inches in front of Carver who hadn't feeded yet. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, if you take a free strike, I'm killing both of them.
Yep, absolutely.
He did not do it. So instead, the gun boar just shot the dog and killed it. And that was my moral victory.
Well, that's good too.
Yeah, it's always fun victory. When you kill that dog.
Fuck that dog. I like that video that Wargame Girl has on YouTube of her dog dressed up like a Kator War dog, and she reads the fluff from the book.
That's awesome.
It's adorable.
Can't argue with that.
I don't know who that is.
It's just, it's a girl who plays War Machine.
Oh!
Yeah, makes videos, and she's cute.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, and, you know, we can rant about video, War Machine video shit in a little bit here, but I'm going to do my next round first.
Whatever you say, boss.
Maybe I should just do a non-sequitur.
You're the one in charge.
I am not. Yeah, so here's the deal. I like your guys' video podcast things where you get on there and do your battle reports because your games are like good and you're skillful and you give out good tech and your commentary is solid. Awesome. I don't care as much for the videos where the gameplay is crappy, they miss all the rules, and they play a 4-point game. You know, like they put a
little battle box thing.
They don't even play a battle box. I think they like take three random infantry models that aren't even solos and a jack with a caster that makes no sense to bring with it, and then they use like toothpicks for terrain and this penny represents a tower and shit like that. But Wargamer Girl, God bless her, she suffers from some of the same issues. It's like, really?
She has good post-production, though. Like,
she has amazing post-production. Her post-production is fantastic. It's the whole production that is... I mean, she does special effects in hers. I mean,
yeah.
like explosions and stuff.
Yep.
And it's like, that's really cool. Just could you play somebody that will teach you how to play the game so that we learn something from you other than... You're not our girlfriend, and that makes us somewhat sad.
Yeah, that's got to be the number one thing that I can't stand watching a video report is that they can be long and droning and as boring as can be, mm-hmm. and I'll still watch them. But as soon as they make a mistake, it's like the entire game is forfeit. It's like, why even bother watching the game? Especially when they don't point out the mistake. It's one thing when a mistake happens and it gets pointed out later.
Yeah,
and then like a small discussion on how it could change the outcome happens.
Right.
You know, that would be great, but a lot of them are just, oh, yeah, and then he'll charge an extra 5 inches here.
Well, that's why we're so ours are post-commentary mm-hmm. and always will be because I think that's an important part of it. If you just record it live, which it's amazing. God bless Maddie K for doing those for all like the big events and stuff like that. It's amazing to have those on.
So much fun to watch.
But and you know, it's just such a great tool to have. But the individual people who are filming their own games
–
take the time, do post commentary. I think
I don't believe that Matty K has a top of his head. I've only ever seen him with a hoodie on, pulled over the top. I don't believe that past like the top of the crown of his head. I don't believe he's got a head.
That's just a mask. That's
brain.
A human mask. He's some kind of a
he's
android.
Like handsome,
or
he's like handsome
kind of
Jack.
He's like handsome Jack.
It's kind of a glass dome back there, hand
so,
blown.
Yeah, that's one of the feelings that we want to try to convey when we do our videos. Is like if you're watching, you know, like Lord of the Rings, and you hear. You know, you put on the commentary track.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we want our podcast.
I mean, I'm not here to suck your guys' dick by any stretch of the imagination.
What? What?
Oh, were you guys? Oh, you, that post that I put about sucking your dick? No, that's not going
to
happen.
Wait, you
Sorry.
Seriously didn't have to do that?
I see you guys did the initiation rites the other night, huh? Yeah, I forgot. I didn't do that. But that is a real strong suit of yours. And if there's one thing, I mean, I've been listening to podcasts since 2002 or so, And nothing drives me more batshit crazy than poor audio and just, you know, shitty wrong stuff. And you guys, your video casts are just money. They're fun to watch. I let my kids watch
them. The only problem is both of them had Jeremy. Why was he even
Would
in that second
one?
He didn't
do play something
in the
about
game.
That? Oh, he Jeremy, was so annoying in the second one.
He came
like,
to watch.
He was like, I'm going to be the host, and I'm going to be talking to you guys. He was
Jeremy,
like, I'm going to present. Yeah, he was
Jeremy.
Like,
nobody's here to see you.
Yeah, no one cares.
Nobody came for you.
He's like, I'm going to put my elbows in this whole thing, and I'm going to talk about my elbows during the commentary too.
Is something about color commentary?
No, he's not color. He was basically playing the host, and Brian and Lewis were the players.
I didn't want to talk as much, so it worked well for me. I was I got to be quieter and let Jeremy ramble on.
So my last round opponent was Brian Culp. And we said, well, hey, this is funny. We did this yesterday because I played him the night before as a practice game. Thank you. That was awesome. And
nice. Came right through.
You know, if you have your mouth like 6 inches from the mic and then cover your mouth and still belch like a frickin' longshoreman, it doesn't stop it from getting in the microphone.
Well, this is an unpowered mic at least.
Okay.
So it's not that bad.
It also doesn't stop the smell.
No, it did smell pretty bad.
Also,
I noticed that.
I'm blaming all those coughs on Jeff. I'm going to claim Jeff's the one with a sore throat who's been coughing this whole time.
Nuh-uh.
And you can't prove otherwise.
I'm there for you, Jeff. That was totally Nate.
See?
Damn it, Jeff.
Where did he get the sore throat from?
From last night, the initiation ritual. Gotcha.
You got pretty mouth, boy.
Wee! Wee! And then you played pigs the next day.
Hey! I'm a big fan of Jeff's circle.
Oh.
Well, that's uncomfortable.
He plays
all
circle
right, so
or Boros. That's his faction.
Yeah,
Matt,
that's
he
uncomfortable.
He plays circle.
Wow.
He's a big fan
Don't
of
be
Morvana
such a jerk
too.
About his circle.
I
see what it did there?
Circle. Because it might be his anus is the thing.
Whoa, that's
double
the
meaning.
Joke.
Yeah,
I just got
meaning.
It.
Yeah, you did just get it.
Funny.
I made a bukkake joke.
Holy cow.
So
not even an hour in.
Can I, Brian, do you want to switch spots, Brian?
This is what you get when you get Nate and I on the microphones. I'm sorry.
No,
Jeff's stuck in between the two.
There has been no talking about jizz buckets, at least.
That's true. We just talked about billboards regarding
bovine sperm.
Semen.
Yeah. So, okay, it was Brian Culp. We played the night before. He'd played Fatty McButterpants, and I'd play Efiora. We decided, let's play the opposite matchup.
So what's the true name of Fatty McButterpants?
I don't even know what the... Reshef.
Reshef.
Yeah.
I just want to... For our listeners out there who don't realize...
For search purposes?
For search purposes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I'm willing to bet if you do that search, it comes up with Reshef.
Fatty McButterpants.
Oh!
Why don't you do a search for Donginators and see what comes up.
Let's not
do that.
Anyway, so
sure it's an image
so he
search.
Played E. Makeda.
Do a chef rule 34.
Don't do that. Oh my God, don't do that.
Please, no.
So he puts out E. Makeda with a mullet carn bullet, and I put down Sevi and the spray bots. No, I put down E. Fior again.
Which one? Second one?
What happened?
Fatty McButterpants Wikipedia.
Apparently it's a King of Queens episode.
That's fantastic. So anyway, so I survived the mullet carn bullet with like 4 health left. I've got Ayana and Holt clutching each other firmly in front of Efiora, trying to act as a meat shield. And here comes E. Makeda. He got Holt out of the way, and what I didn't realize was that he had done... He brought in E. Makeda. He gets to me and says, I cast Engine of Destruction. Well, the only way he could possibly have enough distance to get to me was to have already done Engine of Destruction. So he couldn't have actually got there, but I said, well, that's fine. Don't worry about it. We're both in losers, and this will help your strength of schedule. So there you go. And then, okay, what happened? Why don't you read it out loud? You're looking at Urban Dictionary.
The Fatty McButterpants definitions. There's
It is amazing. Is let's just go over number 3 here. Is basically one who indulges oneself with grossly amounts of desserts, which is pretty much good defining there.
Yeah,
a person who says delicious often.
Delicious.
What?
Delicious.
That's delicious.
Lard is number 3. Number 4 is a person who smiles and jumps up and down when they see or think of food.
What the fuck does that?
I mean, man, you've got a low food.
That's delicious.
That's delicious.
Is that the sound that you make when your cheeks are so fat you can't pronounce things?
Right? Like, that's delicious. I think it's because they're full of pot.
That's delicious.
This pie is delicious.
Delicious just sounds racist, though. I don't know why.
I don't think it's the Asian thing. I think it's really the pie in the mouth going, this is so
delicious.
Hey,
what country are we fixing to offend? Speak now that we talk about racist. Who are we going to offend for as a country? Okay, thank you. I'm getting ahead of myself.
Give it time.
I'm out of format.
Just give it time. It'll happen.
The rampant racism happens after Katie's Corner, before recommendations.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Schedule in all.
Yeah. So I think we only
format. Come on.
Because I bypassed the forced blowjobs last night.
Yeah.
I don't know these.
That's true. If you'd come to orientation,
if you they call it sore at the University.
I had
of
no
Wisconsin.
Idea that's what that meant.
Because you're sore right afterwards.
This podcast is delicious.
Brian, you had a fourth round, right?
I had a fourth round. Yes, I did.
Zappity.
I got to face Travis in the finals, which is our Sam, after making fun of him only the week before about all of our games. So it was very.
And that's exciting because he's never beaten you in an event in years and years and years.
No, so he was spoiler alert.
Well, I mean,
that was up until now.
Okay. Right.
I haven't spoiled anything. I'm saying up until now.
Which I mocked him only a week earlier about that very thing, which is always still fun.
Because
he had this whole thresher. Sorry. He's twitching right now.
Sam
so
thresher.
It is Saren versus Edeni.
Thresher.
And he's playing Edeni theme, or no, he's playing Saren theme, so he's got all flying beasts, two Angelus, a bunch of Nephilim.
That's a lot of wings.
He gets to go first, which makes me sad, because obviously
she gets a plus one.
The scenario, one. I can't remember what it was, but it was null and scenario, he didn't matter. But he gets ahead, takes amazing field position on me. He holds back. I've been playing a lot of Saren players who are over aggressive with me, so I wasn't prepared for this like cautious approach.
Right, they think just like charge forward feet and be invincible,
which I like because I always crush that when I play Edeni. So he's not. So he's playing smart, which I'm confused by because it's Travis. So he's lined himself up in a very precarious like. Everything's methodical outside the board.
So this time around, Travis didn't just pick up an internet list and just play it. He actually somewhat has some good tech behind
the last few.
And it's actually anti that because he's playing Saren, and everyone and their mother right now is playing JVM Saren list, and he was not.
When I won the Chicago event 2 weeks ago.
Travis is playing my Saren list.
Yeah. So two weeks ago, all I've been
Sam seeing, just had a freaking hemorrhage just right there when those words let. So you're claiming his list, and now his head just exploded.
Oh, he's adapted it with the newer models that came out, but it's basically my list.
Okay.
So I've been facing the JVM list, and I've been, I mean, obviously not being wielded by JVM. It's a whole other level. But I mean,
turns out he is a thing all by himself.
But I've been facing all the various copycat players, and I've been just smoking the list. So now I'm playing a different Saren list. So he positions full. I run forward. I basically, on one side of the scenario zone, he's on the other side of the scenario zone. We're like 14 inches apart because his Angelus can go 14 inches. I'm trying to be like 14 and a quarter, trying to taunt him.
Mm-hmm.
He takes another turn. Doesn't take the bait. He sends in like one Nephilim on my Wraith Engine, whiffs, but keeps everything back. He's trying some pot shots. The next turn, I kill that Nephilim. It's just one of his free light beast I kill, and he's... You know, he goes back. His Seraph tries to shoot, and his Seraph rolls, like, I think a 1 on his...
Strafe.
His Strafe. Yep. And then he threw... Then he goes out, and he throws his Angelus on my Wraith Engine, which didn't kill it to the very last attack, which he had a bunch of Bane Knights, because he figured he would just go and Armor Pierce my Wraith Engine, kill it, and then beat back through, like, probably 3 Bane Knights, but only kills the Wraith Engine, which I was ecstatic at that, you know...
Well, but he didn't trigger vengeance.
No, well, he sends a Harry. Then he sends a Harry in. He gets his only Blight Bomb of the game off of my Harry. Because I keep my stuff so spread out that I've been Blight Bombed so many times in my life that I'm pretty good at, you know, trying to keep that out the distance. So then he sends another couple beasts at my Nightmare. But he's out by like a quarter of an inch at my Nightmare. So now he has like all of his beasts have gone into all parts of my army. He's just destroyed like half my Bane Knights. He's killed, I think, my Pistol Wraith is dead. No, Pistol Wraith's not dead, but he kills like... My Wraith Engine, half my Bane Knights. He shoots Tartarus. Tartarus always dies to Nephilim Crosswoman, whatever that thing's called.
Yeah, the
Bolt Thrower.
You should just call it Tartarus Slayer. I've had Tartarus killed like 100% of the time when one of those are on the table. It just dies.
It's your stealth in it. It's pretty damn hard.
I had Tartarus on a hill, but it wasn't good enough. So I lose Tartarus. He jams his list on me. He feats. And then I do what I did last time. I walk forward with Saren. I'm in Corporal. I feet back on him. I'm trying to run my Bane Knights of Nightmare into some sort of counter position. But his caster is next to a Seraph, and I'm really paranoid he's going to be slips. He's going to slipstream to get some really good positioning. So I kind of have an opening for a charge lane going, but I am losing the attrition war. He actually gained a control point on me. So I'm down models. I'm down the attrition. So my only hope is to get my Bane Knights with no Tartarus cursing on Saren, who's a 16 defense, or who has Banishing Ward on herself, so I can't even mark for Death, which is usually my big way to lower defense. So his turn goes, he actually has three, because he did so many killing, he actually had like half of his beast frenzied, so he wasn't able to kill that much of mine. He did his stupid, what's that debuff spell that minus two can't charge?
Breath Stealer.
He Breath Steals my Bane Knights, which was a good move.
Yeah.
He then slipstreams twice, which was my biggest fear. He actually was, he played very well because he positioned.
Slipstream twice.
Well, once the Seraph slipstreamed, because you can. You slipstreamed, he changed facing, so it counts as moving, and then he moved her back an inch or two, and then he had Saren can't slipstream herself, can she?
No.
I don't know if he slipstreamed. He might have.
You can't slipstream something twice, though. That's the major thing.
He may have slipstreamed. I don't think he actually slipstreamed her twice. I think he slipstreamed another model to walk in front of some more Bane Knights.
Sure, that makes sense.
Part of this battle report may be complete horseshit.
Yeah. He either cheated, which I don't think he did, because he's Travis. He knows the rules. I'm pretty sure.
I don't know. He's barely got this judge test.
So I'm
pretty nowhere near the highest score of all time, was
yeah,
he?
No.
Well, no, he was like 4 feet away from
all
him.
All time.
Okay.
That's pretty close to the highest scoring judge of all time.
That's true. Yeah. Physically.
Yeah.
So basically, he gets himself positioned really
best
well. So
podcast
all I
ever.
Yeah. So all I can do, I still, because how close I had Denny when I feed it, I was still able to walk up. So my plan is walk up with Denny, swing at his caster, or give three focus to Nightmare, walk my caster up, swing at his caster, teleport her forward, and get between one and three Bane Knights and Nightmare on her. And he kept her with two focus. She had two transfers. So I had to do, Denny has to hit, two Bane Knights have to hit, and the Nightmare has three focus to try to hit her. And his mistake was he could have kept, I think, one or two more Fury, but he did something with those two Fury. But still two transfers with so few attacks. And if I don't do it, I lose, because he's up on my army so bad. I puppet strings my caster, walk up there, I swing, I miss, I puppet strings, I hit.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Whoa! You remembered puppet strings.
I forgot one time, one tournament, 3 years ago. Which, by the way, I haven't forgotten since. So I hit.
They'll never let you!
Yeah. It's a good lesson to learn. I mean, that's...
So I teleport him 6 inches forward. I place Saren just the way that both... I give the Bane Knights the backswing, because Nightmare has a better mat. Oh, also my hit, because I have to hit and then damage the teleport. The teleporter. When I rolled the damage, I was minus two. I'm like, well, I'm not going to boost, because I wanted the extra inch. So I'm like, well, if I roll Snake Eyes, 1 in 36 chance I just lose the game right now. But I rolled an 11. So he took 9 damage and he didn't need it. So he decided to take the 9 damage and I transfer. So I teleport him. Then I walk. I'm only able to get two Bane Knights in there. I need 8. First Bane Knight rolled an 8, and I rolled 10 on the damage. And then he transfers that because he didn't think he couldn't. Yep. Next Bane Knight, I roll an 8. I roll 11 on the damage. So he has to transfer that.
So your dice exploded at the end of the game just like they did on me.
Nightmare walks up. I do my Tusk attack first because I was going to boost my other ones, but I wanted to see what I got. My Tusk needs an 8.
Like you never had claw attacks, did you?
I roll an 8. And then I roll like a 10 on damage. Oh, and this dropped her. I dropped her in 3 hits.
Game ended just like our game.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. It was just, but I needed those 8.
Teleport ability she has is so absurd.
Nightmare did kill. Not know she had that.
Oh, I knew she.
Don't
had
ever
that.
Play against her.
Yeah,
before.
It's so like, and that so thing awesome. Is like, people don't talk about it. Like, in all the discussion, like her feet and spells and stuff like that, people, you've played this game for years, John.
Oh,
years.
Yeah.
She had that in Mark 1. This isn't new or anything.
I know.
She's had this for a decade.
I know.
Amazing.
She just stabs you. You teleport up to a foot. That's just a thing she does.
Probably 11 inches up, though, because I mean, you'll have foot's doable. You just buy the hit, and then maybe you boost damage based on
yeah,
your
maybe.
Deck.
I mean, because it's 6 inches plus X, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so technically, she can get you up to 13 inches away if she doesn't need to boost a hit.
Unbelievable.
So out of transfer range, but potentially.
Yeah.
Like, and, of course, and it's a place effect, so obviously her back is to whatever you want to hit her with. So
all of a sudden, you've got your back to her entire army out of transfer range in the wrong... Like, it's a... Oh, my God.
Wrong side of the tracks.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's the closest Travis. Travis almost pulled it off. I mean, he was ahead of me in every element of that game until
I'm just sad you never got to attack with Tartarus against a single model and declare it was a Thresher attack anyway.
I was a little sad about
that. Just rub it right in.
Travis, this is a Thresher?
Then start yelling it across the room. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to make it clear that this next attack by Tartarus is indeed a Thresher.
Thresher.
The last time I played, it was at a local night, but I did silence everyone in the room because I wanted everyone to know that Midas was casting Fatewalker on himself. I was very proud of the fact that Midas was casting Maul at Karn's Animus.
Woohoo!
I needed everyone to be aware of that.
And then he died.
So that you can actually watch people's faces be like, why is that a big oh?
Oh, wait. Way to go, Midas.
And then you even used it. You didn't forget.
I remembered, I
expected you to forget about it.
To cast Fatewalker, then not use the move? Yeah, that's a neat thing to do.
Happen 2 out of 10 times. I could say 1 out of 5, but that's not true. It's 2 out of 10 times.
Then that's functionally different. Ask the math professor.
This Edeni, she's pretty good.
Edeni's kind of okay.
She's pretty good. I'm looking at her spells here. She's strong.
My Merc lists, I almost always had Durgan as one of my two lists, specifically so that Edeni could go fuck herself.
Yeah, because if she can do him, he can do her back.
And that's why I'm tweaking
this. Well, the best thing is, she said, like, one of my favorite moments against Plummer, now staff member, Privateer Press Michael Plummer, head of conventions, et cetera, et cetera. But the first game we ever played against each other was an event, and it was a Mayhem Cup, and he's playing Denny, and he's never played against Durgan before, and I've never actually had used Durgan against Denny, so this was a learning experience for both of us. He comes up, and he goes, blah, blah, I go incorporeal. And so I killed her.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, that's something Durgan can do. Fascinating.
Yes.
Good to know.
Quite effectively.
My whole tech with if I face a Durgan player is hopefully I have Dareth Wraith because I'm going to feet at exactly 14 inches
and then back away an inch.
And that's why I've actually tweaked my list. I think I'm going to try to put Dareth Wraith back in my list because I felt like I missed him a lot on Sunday. Saturday.
Could have been a difference against Judicator. I mean, you know, it's 14 inches is 14 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Just ask Mr. Orientation over here.
I have no experience with that whatsoever. So, yeah.
Wait, inches or centimeters?
Fooling yourself, Nate. Yes.
Millimeters.
That was an hour worth of battle reports.
Man, I never want to do that again.
There was a lot of, there was like a 20 minutes of battle reports and a lot of 5 minutes
of bull semen.
No, it was majority battle reports there.
Well, it got broken up, though.
It was broken up, but not broken up enough.
So, should we go to our exciting, will you want to talk about Daikon?
Well, if I talk about Daikon, it's going to be like 3 hours, and then I'm not going to give good justice to all the people I talked about at Daikon.
I have to make a statement that'll make 4 people happy. 2 of them are, 3 are in this room, and the other person is on the podcast. You know, Kurt won Hardcore.
He's from, isn't he from Springfield?
Yeah.
Oh, you mean Cool Kurt?
Cool Kurt, yeah.
Cool Kurt.
Yeah, he's from Springfield, isn't he?
Right.
Cool Kurt?
What was he playing?
He won Hardcore?
Yeah, he won
Hardcore. There's a Kurt I heard about.
Where's he from?
He's from Springfield.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, Cool Kurt.
Yeah, oh, that's okay. Right. Cool Kurt with the head, or lack thereof, we're not
third
sure.
Third base.
So to the one person out there who actually gets that reference, you're welcome. To the rest, suck it.
We were a happy.
all day of that joke.
That was one of the greatest long-running non-joke that was funnier than shit ever. It was, what, Merry Mayhem?
Yeah, it was Merry Mayhem.
It's good times.
Yeah.
But, you know, if I could just remember where Kurt was from, it'd be helpful.
which Kurt?
Well, I'm thinking Cool Kurt.
Oh, Cool Kurt.
He's from Kurt.
He's from Springfield.
He's from Springfield.
Not St. Louis?
No.
No. Oh, okay.
No. Assuming you're talking about Cool Kurt.
There's a Kurt that does video casts. Is that Cool Kurt?
No. Is he from Springfield?
No, I think he's from some St. Louis.
Oh, then no.
Okay.
Cool Kurt's from Springfield, I think.
That's what I've heard.
We're going to see. We're going to email. No, that Kurt guy actually is from our. That guy is
meanwhile,
from St. Louis.
Meanwhile, people, like, nerd rage is happening across. No, fucking Cool Kurt, and he's from St. Louis. God damn it.
Plus 15 seconds.
That guy's passed out this week.
I need to, like, one of these podcasts, we need to have a little timer. Like, every 15 seconds, I need to say, like, the next word from, like, a book so that guy will just listen to, like, Tale of Two Cities if he times it perfectly.
I was going to set my timer for every 10 minutes, like, episode. Welcome to the next episode. Since, you know, Muse is doing 20 episodes, and we have to catch up to them in numbers.
All right.
We got to do, like, Should we just do it now? Episodes.
Yeah.
No, we can do our episodes in base 8.
Nice.
There you go.
Do it to Hexadecimal.
Welcome to FF.
You can get some letters in there?
Hold on.
No, today this would be FA, right? Yeah, there's a BFA.
I don't remember. Hold on. Hexadecimal.
27 hexadecimal, because F is 16 and A is 11, right?
We've now invoked a mathematician to
hold
tell
on.
Us.
Hold on. Yeah. This means a whole bunch of fucking work for me. No.
My favorite thing. That out. My favorite thing about hexadecimal was the villain on the TV show Reboot.
Just do decimal to hex conversion.
God, I remember the show was so great.
All my friends liking that except for me.
The first season was like cheesy and lame, and then like
I don't remember Reboot.
I was too old for that shit.
Yeah.
Are we talking about that? We're talking about that computer.
I was almost too old for it. I was on the cusp.
And I'm significantly older than anybody else in the room.
You're like 80.
I'm 45.
It's not that much older than
me. I was speaking in hexadecimal.
Oh, snap. Not that old.
So we'll talk about, you can talk about Daikon next time then. You can have a Daikon.
Well, I kind of want to.
You lost to Keith.
There you go.
You lost to Brian White.
Yeah.
The end.
First round in. Yeah, I lost to Keith. And then Dream my crushers. Second tournament, I lost to Brian White.
Well, these are both round one opponents. It's like you sit down in your first game at a con, and there's Keith right across
Keith's
from you.
He's not any good. Hey, guys, what has he done recently?
Guys, I'm going to offer an alternative podcast to go along while you guys are doing battle reports. I'm going to play Enviro Bear.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
I'll tell you how it goes. While you guys are doing your podcast.
You already know what my battle reports are normally.
I'm getting Enviro Bear.
I've heard that Enviro Bear is the best one-armed bear game ever.
If you're going to play Enviro Bear, that sound better be up so you can hear it on the microphone once in a while.
Okay, so I got
to go. Did I ever show you a picture? I put a Facebook a couple years ago. I was playing Enviro Bear, and a fish came in through the sunroof that was literally too big to fit into the car. It was just like from the gills up to the head. It was bigger than bear. Drive that car. Anyway.
Hope I got fish.
Good job. Right away? Wow. Yeah. You started in a pond.
So I'm fucking pro level, bitch.
So I'm going to share my tech at this point. I think that's a good place to share my stolen tech.
Well, yeah, I guess I'll talk about Daikon.
Yeah, we'll
later.
Give Daikon its due when we're not an hour into a thing.
It's we're way too far into this.
Hit a tree.
It sounds like you got a lot to say about it. So
just hear the bear roaring. That is arguably the best one-limbed bear driving a car simulator.
I can't think of a better one.
Yeah,
hands down.
One hand down.
I might
hand
drop up. The Barry's. Arguably. I love that somebody made a trailer for the EnviroBear live action film.
Oh, no. Yeah,
it's great.
I love eating the mushrooms and then having it turn into realistic.
Hyper realistic mode. Yep. I'll recommend that game again. I recommended that like the first episode. I'll do it again. That game's fucking boss.
Well, John has technically already been on the podcast before. Jeff has not. And we always have kind of a quick intro of why they play, what they do, and stuff like that. So we could probably give Jeff a moment to talk.
Well, give me my 10 seconds because I want to share this. And you pay attention. This is cool tech man off, John. Pause your Enviro Bear. You're okay.
I can't.
There's not a badger in there, is there?
Not yet.
Okay.
No.
So somebody asked this question if it was legal, and it's totally legal, and it's fucking genius. Effects cannot reboot, essentially. So like if you're hit with blind lasts a round. If you're hit with blind again, it doesn't reset that round timer. You're still stuck with the initial timer that started when you were first hit. So you can't be like re-knocked down. You can't be re-shadow bound or any of that stuff. Okay? So you're making a face, Jeff, but
well,
that is the rules
of
the game.
Keep going. Keep going.
You can't refresh at something like that. Okay. Like, so, yes. So the point is, you can't, if you're under the effects of an effect, and the expiration date is set, it's saying like a round from now, and then the next turn you're hit with it again, it doesn't refresh to a new round. That second one literally does nothing to you.
Okay.
So what this is let's say you got your storm wall, and your storm wall walks up and blows up some stuff.
Bad
and punches
example.
Some stuff. That's a decent example.
Oh, you're right.
Storm wall walks up, punches some stuff, blows up some stuff, drops a pod, kicks ass, takes names. I'm the best ever. Then you walk your Gorman DeWolf up and blind it. Your opponent's turn, they can't blind it. It's already blinded.
Well, they can blind it.
It doesn't do anything.
But
it doesn't
stack.
Reset the timer.
Right.
It doesn't stack. The new effect doesn't take place of the first one. They can't blind it.
Oh,
it's
holy
already blinded.
Shit.
So the start of your turn,
you're
one
back
round
to good.
Later, blind expires.
So what? Okay,
blind
so let's say.
Expires.
Let's
you
say
activate
somebody
your jack. Your jack does shit. You disrupt your jack.
What happens?
Your jack's immune to disruption.
What if their Gorman DeWolf comes over and blinds my Stormwall on their turn? I come over on my turn. I blind it again. Does it reset the timer?
No, it doesn't reset. That's the whole point.
You blind your you have your Adjudicator go, or your Stormwall go. It attacks. then you blind it.
Yeah. Okay.
Then you're
never give them the chance.
You're facing. Yeah. You're playing Crix and you're facing Denny too. You have your Warwitch Sirens just stab some of your own stuff and shadow bind them. They're immune to her feet. Because she feats, she can't re-shadow bind them. Your shadow bind expires at the start of your turn.
Oh, that's really cool.
I just got an erection.
Isn't that absurd?
That was worth putting EnviroBear down for.
Note, this may not be a permanent fact. Like I pointed this out in the judge forums. I'm like, this is kind of psychotic. And they're like, yes, it is.
I can see that one going either way. Because I can see how it could be really powerful in some instances. But then again, it's so pigeonhole.
If there's an enemy Gorman the Wolf 10 inches away from your storm,
you're blinding the shit
out of your own storm.
Hell yeah, I am.
That is a good point.
Like, are you kidding me?
I mean, especially now if the option is there.
Yeah.
Well,
shoot with Eris and just, well, if it was not a storm wall, but something high value that you didn't want to get disrupted.
You just disrupt it with your own Iris.
I'm all good with that.
Actually, yeah, you'd have to do it with Iris because almost every other form of disruption is an electrical damage thing. Wouldn't work on the Stormwall so well.
Right, but on
every other faction.
Wouldn't work on the Stormwall because they can't be disrupted anyway. Other jacks and stuff, like Disruption, Shadowbind, Blind, anything else that lasts for one round, if you can throw it on your own guy, they're immune to it on your opponent's turn. Your opponent will get the benefits of it on their turn, but who cares that your Stormwall is -4 defense? It's a fucking colossal. They're not going to miss it anyway.
It's not going to make it any worse.
Yeah, but if it was Rustbound or something like that.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to respawn my own jack. Oh.
But just shadow, like, moving up with your caster, doing your thing, and then shadow binding them so you're immune to Denny's feet, or like your own Malakarn or something, you know, if you can. Oh, my God.
That's some good stuff right there.
Enjoy it.
Good.
Enjoy it.
It's pretty may or may not last, but enjoy it while it does.
Oh, that's great.
Wow, that was 100% good tech actually given out on this podcast.
Yeah.
Can E. Lilith,
hopefully somebody
can Lilith 3, can she, can does her attack center on models give her the same effect pistol
rate? But
she'd
be burning her
enemy.
It might be enemy, and also you'd be burning your feet to prevent Denny's feet, in which case Denny would just not feed and
save. No, it's a pistol ray thing.
Pistol ray thing. Oh, yeah.
You could have one model.
Oh, yeah, Death Chill. Yeah.
You could have like one little soloist shoot your beast at the last, so then you're kind of buying your own.
On your feet turn, if you're facing Crix and they have pistol wraiths, you could death chill your own stuff to.
But that feet might say enemy. I'm not sure.
Look through your own faction stuff and think about these.
So
things.
If someone just someone might have accidentally plus 15 seconds past our really good tech.
We're back to EnviroBear.
Back to EnviroBear.
You got
to pee. Emergency. Get over your fish.
All right, useful stuff's over. So John's to EnviroBear. Jeff, talk about your circle.
I gotta talk about my circle?
No, talk about you.
Oh.
What makes you you?
What makes me me?
Yes.
Quick, you got 5 minutes.
Question. I only got 5 minutes. Oh my gosh.
Time's up.
Why do I play circle? Circle's fun. Circle's a lot of fun. Circle's got a lot of movement. Circle's all glass cannony. It's a lot of fun teleporting things and then getting Cro-Mac to warpath them into an enemy warcaster. That's some good times.
Hey, there's a bitch on a goat that's awful fun, too.
Yeah, she's okay. Yeah, yeah. She's okay.
Oh,
she's a little okay.
Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second.
I'm going to let you finish.
I'm going to let you finish. But, man, what? I came up with some awesome tech over at ThatCon weekend that only myself, Ben Lang, and Nick Kleeman know about. I'm just going to let out a word. It's called Boom Shapers. Done. Go ahead.
Boom Shapers?
Boom Shapers. It's amazing, and I'm going to unleash it on the world. Go ahead.
Okay, then.
Coming soon to a theater near you. Boom Shapers.
Rated R.
That sounds like a strip club.
Grumble.
I'd go there.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Boom Shapers. Coming up first on the main stage is Tamiri. Put it up for Cinnamon. Spelled with 3 Y's and a W. Cinnamon.
She was clearly never raped as a child.
Cinnamon. Cinnamon with a lisp.
Why did you have to make it so dark, John?
Because they are that dark.
Strip clubs are happy places. Those women are all well-adjusted. They're there because they have weighed all their options, their myriad options, and found this to be the best one.
Daddy
is. I don't think it's like that.
Oh, wait, no, it's not.
It's not like that.
It's not.
So on Netflix, there is something called Whore's Glory. Whore's Glory. It's a documentary.
Whore's Glory does sound more interesting than whatever Jeff was about to say. No offense, Jeff.
What was I going to say?
Was it Whore's Glory? I don't know. I mean, anyway, back to John, the important story.
It's a documentary of prostitution in one of the happiest of all places for prostitution, Thailand.
because that's going to end well. And I guess they have these places. There's a place that they document called the Fishbowl. And what that is there's all these girls that are prostitutes who are sitting on benches behind glass, and these guys come up, and they like, okay, I'll take number 204, and I'll take number 232.
It's like an automat.
It's totally like an automat. You pull open the door, and out comes a chick. And then they stop over, and they pay the 1,600, I don't know, whatever the fuck the name of their money is.
Where was this?
This is in Thailand. Fats or bats or some bullshit. $54.
The name of their money.
$54. All inclusive.
I'm going to Thailand.
So I was thinking the painting with Pinoff John might have a Kickstarter.
Kickstarter. Yeah.
And I would kickstart a trip to research Whore's Glory to see if it's true and paint one of them on camera.
Like body paint, or sure. like one of your French girls.
I can pretty much guarantee you that Kickstarter will happen.
You said the problem in Thailand that most of the there's a larger percentage of their prostitutes that have penises. Isn't that part of the?
I saw no dong.
They call those bonuses. That's a bonus package.
These girls seemed legit.
All right.
So
they are big on the lady boys over there.
Legitimate.
We still need to do the Bill Pullman.
Oh my God!
Kickstarter,
yeah,
that still needs to happen.
It's about time we bring that back up again.
It is.
That is not my Whore's Glory is not my recommendation,
because I'm going to be.
But it is worth recommending.
I'm going to be starting a Kickstarter sometime within the next week, and it's going to be hard pressed to not just do the Bill Pullman one instead.
You doing a Kickstarter for this show?
Yeah.
Why not?
We've been thinking about
merchandise and that. We've been talking about doing
it. Because the idea was to do a Kickstarter to get the funds to get. Because the problem with something small like this doing merchandising is that you have to buy like 100 shirts ahead of time and whatnot. And so we don't have the upfront.
Ask Trevor about how to lose your ass on a Kickstarter. Right. Let me tell you what.
Right.
He got completely fucked on the cock deal. Did you hear about that?
Oh, to make those convergence shirts with Freud or whatnot?
The Freud ones? Yeah, he got shut down. And then he had already put out like $300 or some odd for the art, so he just took that right up, square up the pooper.
How did he get shut down? Like, was there like
calls might have been made, and
that's true.
IP.
And
that's IP. I understand that.
It's not even IP. It's not defensible.
Right.
But but he did it to save his press gangership.
Mm.
That makes sense. But
whatever. I mean, I'm a little salty about the whole press ganger thing because maybe I'm not a press ganger anymore. But I'm outnumbered in this room.
Luckily, our logo is it's government owned. That's not the same as public domain.
Yeah,
our logo is straight up stolen from the government.
Yeah,
They're too busy listening to people's cell phones.
I honestly don't think they even care.
Right.
We're bringing awareness to other people. Don't put your hand in gears.
That's true.
That sounds like sound advice.
Speaking of which, I will mention, in case he's listening, the gentleman who won the painting competition, your shirt, I received it today from production. It's done. I have it. We'll get it mailed out this week.
I just
thought it is a one-of-a-kind, unique snowflake shirt. No one else in the world will ever have the same shirt as you.
So now it's going to age in Katie's purse.
We have another winner.
Theirs won't be the same, because his uniquely calls out.
I forgot.
Yeah, your shirt uniquely calls out why you won and how you won. So unless the next winner also wins with amazingly painted champions, you will have a unique shirt forever.
Yeah, I bet Chris down at Thaicon. He's awesome.
Yeah,
he's
good guy. Vader.
Yeah, Vader.
Yeah. Turns out he can paint. Yeah,
turns out his champions, when modded with like Fenblade and Longrider bits, are the most amazing goddamn models ever.
Yep. Thanks for the honorable mention on that one.
I voted for you.
For the Crusader
Avengers.
You were
my actual vote. I signed in to vote for you because I love the googly eyes on that horse.
Yeah, that turned out pretty good.
Yes.
Wait, so it didn't change the crippled system when you posted?
I did on my home computer.
Oh, okay.
Because I didn't want to have collusion appearances.
Okay.
Awesome. So, Circle. You play Circle.
Yeah, I play Circle. But the funny thing is I really only play Circle because Signar is so stinking difficult for me to play. It takes
you mean
me
Mercs?
No, I play Signar.
Oh, wow.
I play Signar,
which is why it was so bad.
Right. Yeah. It's.
I'm sorry for your infantry.
Yeah. Oh man. Stormguard. Come on. I love Stormguard. I want to play them all the time. But oh my god, not that good.
That is the one thing I really like about Signar. I like the look and the feel of all the Storm Nouns, but I don't like how they play. A lot of times, they just kind of meh. But man, everything that's Stormy is awesome. And
yeah, I've been playing.
Looking, that is.
Well, why are they speed 5?
Stormy's awesome. He's one of my favorite characters on that
thing
show.
It's
12-15. I mean, seriously. And so expensive.
Well, because we have Arcane Shield. And because nothing in the game drops Arcane Shield.
They should be speed 6. There's no reason they should be speed 5.
Yeah, they should be speed. They should also be defense 13, not defense 12.
My Aaron sit back there and start kind of combing their hair and getting ready with their magic crossbow.
God, it's so bad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Peggy.
Quick story for my Daikon day. Screw goddamn Knights Errant.
Oh, they're barely fieldable. They're barely fieldable.
Armor 17 fucking Creel Warriors. One unit of Knights Errant decided to kill off 11.
Mm-hmm.
11 of my Creel Armor 17 Creel Warriors.
That seems about fair.
Yeah. I need eights to kill. I'll just roll nines and tens the entire fucking time.
That's not Aaron's fault. That's
that was pretty horrendous. But anyway, I'm not bitter.
So Circle.
So playing Circle. Circle's really great now too, because they used to just sort of be this like long range melee army.
I
now
like
you
that
can do
Jeff
all kinds
getting,
of stuff.
Like 2 sentences out, and then we're like interrupting him to go on like a tangent.
So
about
let's talk
something.
About mercs. How about the mercs?
So. The poor guy's been sitting,
he's
here.
Sitting where Jeremy sitting and Travis have sat.
That chair is cursed.
Yep.
So, Circle.
Yeah, it's okay.
So, cool yeah, Kurt, okay. Where's he from?
Isn't he from St. Louis? Or is it Springfield?
I heard somewhere in Illinois.
I won't interrupt you this time. It was just comedic that time.
So, Circle.
Yeah, it's just so, Circle. But yeah, Circle.
See, now it'll be comedic for somebody else to interrupt
you,
because I promised that I wouldn't.
You're going to do it again.
Right. So here, I won't interrupt you this time, Jeff.
Mm-hmm. So the great thing about Circle is,
so
that
Adam, you know the guy that was playing the trick, he's borrowing my retribution right now because I sure as fuck ain't gonna play those guys. And we're doing a modified journeyman league, so I thought that he'd get some use out of him and all that kind of stuff. Ooh. But you know, Jeff, what about Circle?
Enviro Bear for you.
All right, Jeff, all right. Go. For reals this time, yo.
For reals. Morvana came out. Holy smokes. An even better, higher top tier caster. She's a lot of fun to play. You guys played against her? She's okay.
She's fieldable.
My tech against her
is going to be like,
awesome.
Makeda okay. 3 likes her.
She's okay. Yeah, that's fun too. but yeah, if you want to play, so you can even play hard now too. Because you got E-Baller 2.
Yeah.
You know, Baller 2. He plays like a rock. Although, I don't think he's going to be doing very good in Death Clock.
I am tired of seeing that. My problem with Circle right now is that I'm really sick of seeing Morvana 2 Cro-Mag. Like, everyone and their mother, their two lists are Morvana 2 Cro-Mag. So I'm happy to see, even the Bald 2 Theme Force is kind of like ballsy, insanely good. But at least it's not just Morvana 2 Cro-Mag.
Yeah, it's rough because everyone wants to play Morvana, and Cro-Mag fits the one niche that she doesn't want to play. It's not even that she's bad against Krix. She doesn't want to play it. She's like, you can do it.
I saw some odd at Daikon. I actually saw somebody playing Morvana 1 at Daikon as well.
Well, they might not know about Morvana 2.
It
might
have been a typo in their forward commander.
They were confused down in Chicago that I may be playing Morvana 1.
Yeah.
God, I used to have played some good Morvana 1 games back in Logan when I used to live in Utah. Mike O'Donnell used to play them. God, those damn games would last a fucking year. Most frustrating bitch in history, but you could beat her at least. Not unlike
in time turn, she's I feel sorry for people trying her out like in time turns that don't ever memorize Morvana 1.
That's hard.
Yeah, like that last event, like not the one 2 days ago, but the one the week before. My opponent who was playing Morvana 1 timed out every single turn.
Yeah,
he never activated everything.
Yeah, that'll happen. You didn't even bother dropping Harvest. You pretty much just let him have regrowth and Harvest up. And,
Yeah.
That's why even bother.
I got 3 fish that time.
Well done.
I'm not sure. Fishy.
I'm not sure how this is going to sound, but I think it's awesome.
It's just chaos everywhere.
And that's why Jeff plays Circle.
You know, I play Menoth, too. Yeah, just out of frustration before Morvana came out, I picked up some Menoth.
Good man.
When you get beat by Menoth so often, you eventually just be like, I'm joining you. Screw it, I'm joining you. Epic Fiora lighting stuff on fire and keeping it on fire is ridiculously fun.
I've got some EnviroBear tech if you want to hear some. You put the rock on the accelerator.
You don't even need the rock, dude. Like, my mind was blown when I saw somebody take the
clock.
You start the game with your alarm clock. Just put that bitch on your accelerator. You don't even need to get a rock.
The rock just
brilliant.
Oh my god, it's stuck between both of them.
Brilliant.
Oh my god, I got a badger. Get out of here, bitch. Get jeez.
Hey, bite your leg off. So, oh, you already did.
So recommendations?
Are we skipping that? We don't have time now? For the movie thing?
We'll
save that for the regular podcast.
Okay. Excuse me, lightning round? We got 5 minutes for lightning
movies,
round, right?
But I had a good
Zappity Grumbo.
Oh, I stole Andy. Sorry, Andy. Zappity.
You guys talked about my
Grumble.
Here, I'll bring up. Am I bringing up Facebook?
You got I'll to take talk care for a while.
I'll take care of
Yeah.
Welcome to the podcast, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
We never finish a topic.
That's fine.
We love you.
So, what about Circle?
That was a callback.
We call that a callback in the business.
They're okay.
That was perfect. Well, we should make sure you edit them because there's some in here that definitely do not fit in a lightning round. When we go lightning round, we'll point and you'll have to answer right away.
Okay.
Are you going to do something?
No. Oh, okay. So
you have a Twitter in front of you.
Yep, I can't read that from here.
I got the Twitters. What Merc caster does best against Gatsby 2? Go, Brian.
Fiona.
All right.
That is wrong.
I'm going to say Bart Galleon.
You're all wrong. Just point at the Merc player at the table.
It's Shay. Shay's the correct answer.
It's Shay with runners-up Ashlyn and Damiano, because Ashlyn and Damiano can both be defense 19 against melee.
Does correct. Best.
I would actually go with Shay.
All right. Nah, I'd say, I don't know.
Maybe
Magnus. Magnus 2. Oh,
two at least. You're wrong, but okay. It's any of those guys because they're defense 19 against melee. Zappity!
Grumble!
Right, I got one. You are stuck in an island for the next 6 months. You can only play one game for the whole time to entertain you. What would it be?
I'm probably going to take Super Dungeon Explorer. Fire Bear 2000. What was I thinking?
Well, I was going to say, could it be a computer game?
I'm totally
going to go with Minecraft.
All right.
Do I get opponents?
Wait, if you're taking Minecraft to an island, you could actually make Minecraft on the island.
You're going
to
build fake huts and stuff on a fake island while you're dying on a real deserted island?
I can't do both. Yes, what game I wanted, not what was my survival tactic.
Jeff's talking, so I'm going to play EnviroBear now.
Son of a bitch.
Hey, that's my fish.
I would say Epic Spell Wars, the Battle Wizards, Duel at Moscow Fires.
Although if you're the one on the island, it'd be pretty boring. Like, I'd beat myself again.
I would take the computer version of Hey, That's My Fish with decent AI opponents.
Okay. All right. Travis says favorite... Oh, wait.
Zappity!
Grumble! Travis says favorite opponent to play against.
Me?
Yeah, cool.
No, I meant me. I'm everyone's favorite opponent to play against. I was answering for everyone else.
I'm going
to
say Jason, and I forgot his last name.
Gargathor?
Anderson?
Gargathor, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's awesome.
Man, you cannot have a bad game with that guy.
Oh, you know what? Chad. I fucking love Chad. This is the second episode in a row that I've said that I want to gay marry Chad, so it's going to stop being a joke eventually, but I love playing games against Chad.
So is he
when he death clocks himself?
When you get married, when they say it's like, will somebody ever hold their peace?
I hope he jumps up out of the stands and says, "Nathan, don't do it. I love you."
That'd be great. I'm gonna get him.
My favorite opponent of all time is Travis Marg, because he is just I get such a frequent opportunity to play against him, and every time I play against him, it is just a treat. So I'm gonna say Travis Marg.
I will say Travis Marg as well because I like free wins.
There was that one time he almost beat you.
Yeah, that one time.
He cheated by not declaring Thresher. Zippity!
Grumble.
I got one. Favorite book series of all time?
Oh, God. Probably the Foundation series by, what's his fuck? Isaac Asimov.
Ooh.
Oh,
those are good.
Oh, gosh.
And there's a lot of them, and they're all pretty okay. They don't start sucking until like 14 books in.
Jeff's thinking, so I'll skip him for now, and there's hardcore diminishing returns, but it starts with an A+ and ends with a C+, so it's never bad, but the first ones are such masterpieces that the series is worth it, is the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series.
You back to me again?
Yeah, I'll
say the Honor of Harrington series.
Say Discworld. Discworld's good.
I'll say Malazan, Book of the Fallen. Yeah. By Steve Erickson. Which, by the way, Walter hates his books more than life itself. So if he's hearing right now, he just cringed and passed out. So.
See, I'm struggling because I want to say, like, the entire Dragonlance series, but I reread it like later.
When you were 12, it was amazing.
It was fantastic. Yeah, I had a couple of those books
are so, all the Dragon Lance and Forgotten Realms are so amazing when you're a child. They don't quite
Yeah, you read
well.
Them again, and they're not.
But if it wasn't for those books, I wouldn't be the person I am today.
Okay, well, that's a ringing endorsement, isn't it?
I wouldn't be in a gaming if it wasn't for those books.
So I would say my favorite book
Travis
series...
might win a game every now and again if you hadn't read those books.
Okay. My favorite book series is because I don't read, sadly, is stuff by Eric Larson. And not Eric Larson as in the actual author, Eric Larson as in the comic book artist, the one that draws the Savage Dragon comics.
Oh, those are good books.
They are awesome. They are diehard in every issue.
I want to do a shout out. The last book that they put out by the Skull Island Press, Skull Island
Expedition.
Yeah, the Butcher story is amazing.
Ooh, okay.
It's the guy who wrote it actually is well known, a well known horror writer. So they got a guy who's really good at writing creepy evil stories to write the story of the Butcher.
Man, I've
read all the short stories. There's one actually. There's two novels out that I've not read. One just came out today. But I'm going to read those two in the next probably month. But of all the five short stories, that Butcher story is hands down, leaps and bounds better than all the rest.
So let me give you some preview on the Dark Convergence novel. It is, pretty much is Aurora fanfic slash fic kind of shit.
Rule 34?
They do a little bit of fan service. Nice. That's for damn sure. It turns out she's kind of hot.
She still has skin.
She's
unlike most of the warcasters.
She's human-y and all that kind of stuff, and has bumps in all the nicest places.
She and Axis still have genitalia.
Well, there you go.
Boo.
And on that note, Zappity.
Well, the other three don't. Zappity. I guess they could have.
Grumble?
Mumble?
I guess your perk big clockwork body could have genitals. I don't know.
Back to quick answer here is, will Crix be able to convert Karchev to their faction?
I wish they could.
Oh, hell no. He already is.
No.
God, I hope so. I've been saying since they did Epic Denny and Haley that they need to kill somebody and have their epic version be Crix.
That would actually be really cool.
It would be amazing. Cool. Just flat out, like, take, you know, Kane, have him die for reals, yo, and have Kane 3 be a Witch Lord.
That'd be neat. Or have somebody convert to Menoth
and
become
a... And there's no problem plot-wise because... I mean, it's not like Haley 1 can't still be played or Denny 1 can't. Denny is dead, but Denny 1 is still playable. It doesn't matter if a character is dead. So the fact that they kept her the same faction is irrelevant.
It would be huge buzz. It'd be huge buzz.
Traitors. Doomshaper gets so pissed at the way Madrox running the trolls that he joins up with the Scorn army or something. Or he goes back to Signar.
Well, aren't some of the Crix casters already old casters from other factions?
Yeah, but nobody who's playable in one faction switched factions.
And
they have the balls to put Karchev into a bone jack.
Gorshay 2 should have been able to work for Rhett.
Yes.
The way they were going fluff.
For Rhett or for...
Rhett.
Gorshay 2. He could have been deep undercover and actually worked for Rhett.
He could have been back and forth. Well, the way his fluff was going, because he went over there and stole the sword. Legion. I meant Legion. I said that my brain and my mouth weren't together.
I personally think that Crix is going to try to rebuild Karchev, but Karchev's soul is going to be so strong that they cannot contain it. And therefore, we'll probably see a Karchev that is Crixian-like, but still Kador.
So you're thinking you're thinking they'll do an epic Karchev, but he'll have escaped and still be Kador.
Yes.
But in a Crix like,
but
with some Crix-like taint to him.
Yes, with a Crix chassis. Maybe he has like soul cages or something like that at that point. It just where they try to harness his power and he's just too goddamn
turns.
Angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
They don't have to do it with Karchev, but just with someone.
Angry!
Or it'll be like Master Blaster from the third Mad Max movie, and Karchev's little stumpy thing will be up on top going, I'm running the show!
Who run the Shard Isles?
All right,
zap it at.
You got anything else?
Grumble? All right. What troop type in your favorite faction personifies your personality?
What?
I know. What troop type? It's like a trivia question. What troop type in your faction, your favorite faction, personifies your personality?
Grotesques?
You don't play them.
No, but just the word worked.
That's appropriate.
Yeah.
The factions I play right now, like I play a quarter of a faction and then a faction that isn't out yet.
You do have a face for radio.
I do have a face for radio.
So anyone have a good one for that?
I'll say Gunmage. I'll say Gunmage because I got a tool for every problem I encounter. It's about what I got.
Without question, the Bastions. You know, little known fact, my life has sucked for the better part of 45 years.
Share your pain.
And if you look at the fluff at how these guys become Bastions, they basically lock them in this god-awful armor that weighs a bajillion goddamn pounds and turns them into Speed 4 exemplars. And they just, like, make them stand and bear the weight and for weeks and months on end, and they endure all this pain and agony to become Bastions. And then they, you know, they develop this empathy of brotherhood and all this kind of stuff. And I just have always, that has always resonated for me, and that's why I have two units of those suckers. And when the Bastion Seneschal came out, I did wet myself.
Nice. I'll say Suffolk's Overlords.
You're yeah.
Deeply misunderstood.
Yeah. No, to be honest with you, I would agree. I've known Brian the longest here. That he is, yes. Yes.
So who are your drudge slaves?
Everyone else.
Yeah.
Whoever.
All right.
I like this one because it's quick.
What precedes that?
What happened?
Come on.
Wow. Worst lightning and thunder ever.
Do all Merc Galleon lists need to spend 12 points on Wrong Eye with Bull Snapper?
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes, no. Every single one should do that.
Need to? No. Are you wrong if you don't? Yes.
Shay.
I like it when they do spend it because sometimes those guys are easy to kill.
Indeed.
And that's more points.
I guess I'm thinking Bart Galleon, not just Merc Galleon.
If it's Bart Galleon, yes. But
all Bart Galleon lists need to. All Merc Galleons don't.
Yeah, if you got Magnus 1 in your Galleon,
I will punch you in your head.
It also depends if you have a Buccaneer in that list, too.
No, you mean a Freebooter.
A Freebooter, yes.
Buccaneer is a great three-point solo.
No, I'm sorry, I was completely wrong. Yes, Buccaneer is awesome,
here's a promise. If I ever see, if you, listener, you specifically, yes, you, if I ever see you at a convention and you are playing Magnus 1 and a Freebooter, I'm going to kick you in your fucking taint.
You heard it here, folks.
Wow. Is that going to go on a t-shirt?
Yes. That's going to be the Kickstarter.
Especially when you're the judge for that event, it's going to be really awkward.
Judge, he has Magnus 1 with a Freebooter, and I just went, oh, taint!
Oh my fucking god, what did you do that for?
And not just once, I won't stop.
Alright, well, we're rolling pretty long in this. We should probably get into
Recommendations.
Oh my god, we still haven't done recommendations.
I have an easy one.
All right, go.
I am going to repeat my recommendation for last week. If you own a PlayStation 3, you should own Last of Us. If you don't, I will go to your place and kick you in your fucking taint. There is no reason. I actually need to borrow mine to Nathan.
Yeah,
I forgot it today.
Oh,
I don't want to leave my presence and I'll feel like a less of a person. So if you own a PS3, buy the game or I will fucking kill you.
Okay, I guess I'm going to Target after the show.
It's the greatest thing in the world.
Well, it sounds awesome.
I don't own a PS3.
I'm waiting for
my favorite character is that guy who's not on the cover with the other two main characters. His plot development throughout the game was wonderful. I like that part where he.
I'm waiting for Tiny Tina's new downloadable content to drop in a couple weeks.
That's what I'm doing tomorrow. Nathan, what time are you done with work?
I have tomorrow off.
Oh, yeah.
Is that tomorrow that drops?
Yeah.
Oh, hot damn tamale.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's not my recommendation, though. My recommendation is dating when you're 45 years old. Let me introduce you to a little concept of plenty of fish. It is the most desolate of all websites. The people that go there are, in general, vile.
Craigslist?
No, it is Plenty of Fish.
Plenty
of Fish. It is a website.
POF.com.
Look it up and cry.
It's like these are people who have nowhere else to turn. Like,
and I'm one of them.
Aren't there free websites like that? There's a bunch of like.
Oh, it's free.
These are people that were kicked off of eHarmony.
But Cupid, which is pretty popular. I mean,
Match.com.
You look at the people in the eHarmony commercials, they're like happy and shit. Yeah. These aren't those people.
So the way you can tell the quality of the individual on an online dating site, I'm helping all of you out here. This is Menoth John bearing his soul for your love interest, geeks.
I need this after my second divorce. So
yeah,
this is
exactly.
Important.
Well, when is your pre-divorce?
You're already lining it up.
Your pre-divorce ceremony.
The countdown to my divorce starts next August.
Okay,
great. And when are you getting married?
That's
next
what I'm
August. You, you literally oh, okay. you picked right. a month of there's Gen Con. You have to delay your wedding.
I delayed it a week. She picked a date and I checked the calendar. I'm like, no, that's Gen Con. We're not doing that. And we delayed it a week.
That actually started the clock. Anyway, so, just letting you know, I speak from experience. So the actual, if you look at, if you were to draw a graph, the math guy's about to get erect. So just so I'm going to let Brian know, the math guy's about to get erect. Woo-hoo. If you draw a graph of money that a site costs increasing on the y-axis, and you go across the x-axis, and you start listing out the names of the sites, the more money, the better the woman you chance to meet, because the barrier of entry for a free site is nothing.
Right.
And eHarmony is $100 plus dollars to get on it. So
Thailand, you can get a woman for $54.
We learned that because of Whore's Glory.
Right.
And that's a callback.
That's what we call
a
callback.
That's good podcast.
What about Circle?
So what do you think about Circle?
They're okay.
All right.
Maybe I should play some Enviro Bear now.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Plenty of Fish, horrifying. Match, less horrifying. eHarmony, I don't know. I haven't spent the money.
Okay, Cupid.
Okay, Cupid.
That's free. Is that
I'm not familiar with. I have not seen it. Zoosk has the same problems that Plenty of Fish has.
They're probably all the same.
If it's free, you better be scared. Entries.
There's one that, like, specifically for Christian women, like for Christian people.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, no, the thing is, see, this is some Bill Cosby tech for you.
Oh,
you get a Catholic girl because they have to put out. Pope says they have to put out.
They
have
to put
their
out
job
you,
as a woman
after you slip the ring on them. Yeah. Who wants that bullshit anymore?
That's a good point.
Here, has half my shit 5 years from now. Let me get back to you on that.
So do you have any example stories from this?
You went on a date like yesterday or something, didn't you?
Yeah, that didn't work out so good. That didn't work out so. That was so. Ladies and gentlemen out there, here's some more tech for you in the adult dating scene. Bros before hoes. Just letting you know. Stick with your guy friends. Don't worry about that prospective date. It's pretty common to end up with the girl not looking just exactly what she has her pictures of.
And people lie on the internet?
No.
Yeah.
Do people really do that?
I didn't think it was possible. I thought there were algorithms in the internet that kept that shit from happening.
Yeah.
The NSA put them there.
Well, the Xbox One scans your face while you're posting so it can know what you're
doing. No, it scans your penis while you're playing Uno.
Okay. Man, I don't remember that from the launch trailer.
Yeah, but. I got to tell you, I watched a lot of those launch trailers. Missed that.
No, seriously. Don't you remember that happening when the Xbox 360 first came out with the camera? And it was like Uno was all of a sudden became the here's my junk channel.
What?
Seriously. You guys are like hip youth. I figured your shit was all over the internet.
It rapidly evolved into chat roulette.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah,
I didn't know Uno was the chat roulette.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha.
So, I don't know. It was the best thing about it. I knew I was in trouble when she suggested that we meet at the Olive Garden.
No.
Yeah. I went, well, we just went right in the bucket for class, didn't we?
Well, you met on Plenty of Fish.
Good point.
Really, you've gone up a notch.
The bar might be a little too high.
She didn't say IHOP.
It could have been the Route 494 outhouse.
Yeah.
You know, here on by Racine. It wasn't that, at least. It didn't work out. It was a short one. Short date.
Well, you know, there's Plenty of Fish.
Oh, I see what you did there.
It's almost like the name of the website.
Yeah, it is. It's because there's lots of people on it. It makes it funny.
Oh, that works too.
Oh, it's a pun. I just got it.
I didn't think about it that way. I just thought because you oftentimes eat fish on your dates.
I recommend being single when you're 45 because it offers a multitude of adventure options. Beat that.
Jeff, tough act to follow.
I've been thinking for a while.
Don't hurt yourself.
Oh, it's hurting.
What about Circle?
They're okay.
I'm going to stop that joke now. Play it out.
All right, I'm going to recommend a lesser seen horror movie that I thought was really, really well done, not a big budget, called The Shrine. It came out, I can't remember actor names.
It's about guys with little cars and fezzes.
No, it's not about that, actually.
I'm so happy.
Oh my god, they're funny.
Meet me.
It's a It's a fairly well done horror movie that actually kept me guessing. Normally in a horror movie, you watch the first 10 minutes and you're like, all right, you're dead, you're dead, and you're dead. I don't know if it's still on Netflix, but that is where I saw it.
I'm going to search for I like horror movies a lot.
Good, you should do that. This one's really good because it did not even remotely end the way I thought it was going to at first. And as a matter of fact, the ending is actually really surprising. Basically, this journalist and her ex-boyfriend, friend, whatever, go over... sees to this place
Thailand?
Where effectively some other journalist friend of hers disappeared without a trace. And they get there and they literally see this shrine. And literally, if I tell you anything more, it'll give it away.
No, that's fine. That's good.
Yeah. It is an absolutely fantastic movie. Doesn't end the way you think. Not a big budget film. What's the name of the guy that played the Iceman in X-Men movies most recently?
The Iceman, that was Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, not...
The chill out.
No. Not that.
I will freeze you now.
Not that. No.
Simon says freeze.
Frost, bite me.
No. Is Andy going to throw me a bone here with IMDb?
Bone freeze. No.
No. No, none for me.
You just been colded.
I feel like I have to suggest another one, too.
Sean Ashmore.
There you go. There you go.
Sean Astin, yes. I'm like ice, Mr. Frodo.
Oh, yeah, there's also subtitles. I know that throws a lot of
people
off.
Don't you quit on me!
There's also some subtitles that throw some people off.
Netflix thinks I'll like it.
Dang it. That's too bad it's not on Netflix anymore.
Well, I mean, it was rated high.
Okay, yeah. That's definitely... Let me check that out.
I was going to also recommend a lesser-known horror film that was on Netflix that I watched yesterday.
I haven't got so much time tonight, people.
It's called The Tall Man.
I may have
it has
seen that.
Jessica Biel.
Oh, I've seen the poster for that constantly. I'm like, I should click on that, but I haven't.
Isn't it
as Jessica Biel?
Huh? Yeah, Enderman in Minecraft.
No, not quite. She's in a small mining town. The mine's shut down, so
Minecraft,
everything sucks,
yeah.
And everybody's poor. And kids have started disappearing. Dozens of kids have been kidnapped, and the locals think they were kidnapped.
Is this the backstory for the Hunger Games?
Yes. And so that's not Jessica Biel.
Wasn't she the Mr. Ice from the X-Men movie?
Yeah, that's right. Jessica Biel and Mr. Ice.
Mr. Ice.
Mr. Ice.
He's from Mr. Springfield, isn't he? He's from Springfield, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Mr. Ice is from Springfield. Rick Springfield played Mr. Ice.
Cool Ice.
Woo! Oh.
That's a callback, and that's good podcasting.
So that was The Tall Man.
I have two movies to watch.
The one thing that's got so the one thing that kept me kind of like a mad towards it, I think it's good. I'm not going to spoil too much, but I'm going to say that the movie does make kind of a moral stance in it, or at least the main characters, they make a moral stance, and I'm not sure I agree with the moral stance, but that's okay because the movie wasn't making the stance, the characters were, and so I came to terms with that.
That's
but
cool.
The movie was good. It was very much, it starts out very traditional, there's a spooky tall guy who's kidnapping kids, and oh my good, the main character's kid got kidnapped by the tall guy, who saw that coming, blah blah blah, and then it's smart, and then it does smart things from then on, and it's not a cliche cookie cutter thing. So I would recommend watching it.
Is it Aliens?
There is a new movie coming out with a found footage from a Frankenstein style movie that's supposed to be very smart.
Pacific Rim?
No, that's a whole different
movie. It's
a found footage. It's a found footage. But anyway.
So we got to end this up pretty quick here. My quick recommendation is I think people already know that I already like the awesome show.
Dinosaur
Good
Train?
Recommendation.
Awesome!
Dinosaur Train?
Anyway, is it Iceman and his adventures in Springfield?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That dude's awesome.
That stars
Does he play Circle?
Is Kurt in there?
This summer, Jessica Biel in Iceman Adventures in Springfield.
It's a movie about Bukkake.
Thrill as Iceman is Bukkake'd.
Longmire? What show are you talking about?
Jesus Christ.
What's the show you're talking about?
Longmire? I'm talking about The Longmire.
Longmire.
The Longmire?
Yes.
Starring
Wake in Fear is Longmire. Bukkake's the Iceman.
No. With starring a one-armed bear
from Springfield. We've lost control. We've lost control. Abort.
Yeah,
abort. And watch Longmire.
Longmire, yeah. You say?
Yeah, Longmire.
It's about a mire?
Nope. It's just about a sheriff, kind of a gutsy old school sheriff in a small town in Wyoming.
Oh,
it's like menopausal justified.
It's on A&E.
Is it like a modern Western type deal?
Yes.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, it
has
really
the same,
good.
It's kind of like a watered down version of Justified. I mean, I really like Justified. I really like the characters and everything in there. But Longmire is, it's in the same vein, but not as I'm going to shoot you in the face first.
And it has Lou Diamond Phillips.
It has Lou Diamond
Phillips. You've seen a movie in an AMC theater within the last 40 fucking years. You've seen commercials for Longmire in front of that movie.
Season 1's on Netflix. Season 2 has four episodes out.
Yeah, like the last, like I saw Star Trek and I saw Iron Man 3 and I saw a couple, and every single, like it's their du jour thing they have before it. They were showing behind the scenes of Longmire and Under the Dome and some other stuff. You know, before the trailers, they show the TV commercials.
Has Under the Dome started yet?
I think it's coming up soon. It's got, what's his face from that show?
Oh, yeah, he's on it.
Yeah.
From Springfield?
No, from Albuquerque.
Mr. Freeze?
Mr. Freeze.
No, Breaking Bad.
I know.
Not Walt, the other one. Yeah, the one who kicks ass and shoots Mexicans in the face.
Fred Savage?
Jessica Biel.
Oh, yeah, she plays Iceman.
And oh, I bet you
wasn't that Cool Kurt from Springfield?
Yeah. Ooh, Iceman?
Yeah.
Oh, next week we are going to have a member
Bukkake?
From the... Oh, Jesus Christ.
Next week we're going to have Bukkake.
No. We're going to have a member from the Focus of Fury podcast coming on down to record with us.
Wow.
That
I need a drink to do a spit take. What?
Yeah, that you guys don't know about.
Well, I know now.
Yeah, there you go.
Who's coming,
Big
Nigel?
Big surprise.
No. It's.
I was going to be cruel and say none of the interesting ones, but he's a good guy. I'm just saying that to be hilarious because I talked to him on Facebook. He's like, I'm just...
Sam?
Don't get your hopes up, listeners. It's not one of the ones you give a shit about.
Seriously?
You should have it.
I will be there when he beats you.
I will say he will be able to beat us up, so it's not like a statement.
Can I come and watch? This sounds great.
Yeah, I know who it is now. He's a good guy.
Yeah. You take back what you just said?
No. Apparently there's only one guy who's big enough
be
to
here
beat
Monday,
the shit
he's
out of
here Sunday
it's
afternoon.
Be Saturday night.
I don't think the Chiefs are gone. We don't do something.
We can still work on something.
Yeah.
We can pre-record his stuff and then splice it in ADR.
It'd be about as organized as this thing's been tonight.
It'll be him just punching me Nathan in the face for 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's all to just imagine.
Not interesting, am I?
Face.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
Nobody needs some Foley tonight.
What?
Axel Foley?
No, regular Foley.
Mick Foley? No. From Springfield?
No.
What? That's not Axel Foley?
I know, it's Pee Wee Herman.
I hear Iceman lives in Springfield.
Speaking of Bukkake.
Why? Now, in all fairness... Like, it's one thing if he's walking on the street just jerking it. He was in a porno shop. That's
what else
are you
supposed to do?
Or at a porn theater.
What else are you supposed to do?
They're literally designed to masturbate.
You're supposed to sit there and watch the film.
No, that you get kicked out for doing that.
For appreciating cinematography.
No, they kick you right out.
Jeff knows from experience.
That would be crazy. Some guys just in there for like hours, just sitting and watching, like intrigued. Like, this plot's intrigued.
Imagine, there's like some all the
they
security
can fix
guards
it,
got. Got night vision goggles so they could see. Like, hey, put that away.
No.
Boy, is that how this podcast
that's
is going
to
end?
We like to end on kind of a,
and we're spent.
Meh. That wasn't funny or interesting. Okay. And then we just stop.
Yeah. Okay, so we should probably stop then.
Hey, James Gandolfini died.
Where's the stop button? I'm going to keep pressing the button on this thing.
Seriously?
Bleep up, bleep.
I apologize for everything that happened today.
Bye, but you don't
everybody.
Care.
Bye.
Too late, he already hit stop.
No, it's still,
no, it's still going.
What?
No, he's being clever now.
He hit stop and then he like held the button down, then moused off of it and then let go of the stop.
If you're pressing the plus button.
So can I plug my show while we're still recording in the last 30 seconds?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sunday night on at 7 o'clock Central Time.
I think
that'd be great. That'd be great. 7 o'clock Central Time on twitch.tv. Look for Menoth John. It is Painting with Menoth John. Will you be able to watch my hands paint things and listen to me talk to somebody on Skype?
Cool Kurt.
I might try to get Cool Kurt as a he's if they have internet in Springfield and I can get him on Skype. And then also on the YouTubes on the Menoth John channel. So look for it.
Well, then I think we have a little bit more time. Jeff could tell us about Circle.